really does matter. Tell a friend and stay tuned to the Peter B. Collins Show coming up next after the CBS News.
Oh, I tried to treat you right, but you stayed out.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes.
This is the worst housing crisis in our lifetime.
Connecticut Senator Democrat Chris Dodd on Capitol Hill wrestling with how the government can shine a light through the dark tunnel of the mortgage and credit crisis.
We've got to be moving more aggressively here, cautiously, prudently, and thoughtfully. But aggressively, and that's what we're trying to do.
One proposal getting traction on the Hill would send federal money to states so they can buy up distressed homes to avoid clots of blight. The foreclosure pain is not over.
There's no short-term light at the end of the tunnel. There are a huge number of adjustable rate loans still to reset, including a large number of subprime loans.
That's Rick Sharga at Realty Track. Foreclosures in February were improved over January by 4%, but still much higher than last year. The administration says rules have got to be tougher and clearer.
Mortgage brokers will be held to strong national licensing and enforcement standards. There will be stricter safeguards against fraud and full and clear disclosure to borrowers about home loan terms, including long-term affordability.
That's Treasury Secretary Henry Paulson. Retail sales were down last month. Experts say higher mortgages coupled with higher fuel and gasoline prices are taking much bigger bites out of home budgets, leaving people with less money to spend. On Wall Street today, the Dow was up 35.5 points. The Nasdaq gained about 19.5 points. President Bush pressured Congress again today to pass the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act. This evening, the House will discuss it.
Secret sessions are rare. It's been 15 years since the House had one. Republicans asked for it, saying they want to use classified information to help their argument that Congress should give President Bush the wiretap bill he wants with retroactive immunity for the phone companies. Democrats were doubtful they'd hear anything to change their minds, but agreed to the one-hour closed session to let Republicans make their case.
That's CBS's Bob Fuss on Capitol Hill. The IRS wants you to know they will not reach out to you by email, period. Not on your taxes, not on your economic stimulus check, either.
We take phishing scams very seriously at the Internal Revenue Service, and you know, to date, taxpayers have forwarded more than 33,000 of these scam emails to us.
IRS spokesman Anthony Burke. An Amtrak express train, a high-speed Acela, hit three people today who were on the tracks in Rhode Island. Spokeswoman Tracy Connell.
The persons who were struck were two Amtrak employees and one contractor who were inspecting the tracks in the area. One person was fatally injured, and the other two were taken to a hospital with serious injuries.
Call it a bee house, not that the stately Tudor known as the Stathatos House in San Marino, California, wants to be a giant hive for countless honeybees, but it is. So many bees have taken up residence, the walls drip honey. Wallpaper in the dining room is the color of it. The house even smells of honey. Experts say there may be millions of bees in the walls of that home. This is CBS News.
Another how-to half minute from the Home Depot.
Hello.
Where are you?
Looking at lawn tractors. You?
I'm in appliances. I thought we agreed on a washer.
Yeah, but you ought to see this lawn tractor.
Will it wash jeans?
Well, maybe.
Get down here.
Today's the day to get what you've always wanted. Because when you use your Home Depot consumer credit card, you can get special deferred financing store-wide. The Home Depot. You can do it. We can help. Valid through March 19th in U.S. only. See store for details.
Is Progressive.com an auto insurance utopia? Well, let's see. Progressive is more than just cascading waterfalls and lush green gardens. It's all your auto insurance wants and needs, like the chance to save hundreds and the fact that we're there for you 24/7 to answer any questions. And they're not answered by magical nymphs, but by licensed agents, which is nice. Start saving today at Progressive.com or call 1-800-PROGRESSIVE. That's Progressive.com or 1-800-PROGRESSIVE.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company's affiliates may fail, Ohio. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's dawn for the umpteenth time, and time to go to work for the space shuttle crew.
The wake-up call was courtesy of the 70s British band the Bay City Rollers for news station crew member and spacewalker Garrett Reisman.
It gets us all pumped up, and we're ready to go out the hatch and do it all. Have a ball, S-A-T-Y. Saturday night.
Reisman and shuttle crewmate Rick Linehan are getting ready for a planned 6.5-hour spacewalk. The Endeavour crew also got some good news about their shuttle. They were told there will be no focused inspection of the heat shield. Mission managers have one last question mark about a wing leading edge panel, but Mission Control says they don't expect it to be a problem. Peter King, CBS News.
Amy and Jim Albert were on the way to the hospital, needed to get there too because the baby was knocking on the door in Carrollton, Ohio. The truck broke down. Good thing they brought towels with them. Amy's a paramedic, and Jim says just minutes later he was holding little Aaron Nicole Albert in his hands. And that's, of course, when the paramedics arrived. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
At Mercedes-Benz, our affordable certified pre-owned vehicles come with the rich legacy of engineering that is Mercedes-Benz. And a 155-point inspection, roadside assistance, and a one-year warranty up to 100,000 miles. Every certified pre-owned Mercedes-Benz retains its integrity because, as a company, we have ours. Stop by your local authorized dealer and ask about the certified pre-owned program by Mercedes-Benz.
See dealer for complete details and warranty and roadside assistance. Abbreviated inspection applicable to vehicles less than 15 months old with less than 18,000 miles.
Is Progressive.com an auto insurance utopia? Well, it can save you hundreds by being the one-stop place to compare Progressive's rates to those of other top companies. What's more, if you have any questions, we offer live phone support 24/7. And if you'd like to picture us with soap opera good looks, then go right ahead. What else would you expect in utopia? Start saving today at Progressive.com or call 1-800-PROGRESSIVE. That's Progressive.com or 1-800-PROGRESSIVE.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and its affiliates, Mayfield Village, Ohio. Prices vary based on how you buy. Comparison rates available in most states and situations.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Kristen, I'll be there Monday. Room 871, you know. You know the drill. But I need a discount. I can't afford this Spitzer card. Ladies and gentlemen, the radio talk show nobody asked for. Beaming your way from sunny San Francisco, I'm Peter B. Collins. And the next 3 hours, we will attempt to entertain and edify you. Information and commentary on the issues we confront. Pat Shakir will join us in a moment from the Center for American Progress. And we'll take a look at the Progress Report and thinkprogress.org. Lots of great breaking news going on there. Later this hour, two activists will check in with us. David Rubinson, the super music producer who handled Carlos Santana's early records here in San Francisco. Well, he's in Washington, D.C. with a whole crew of people who have been issuing stop-loss orders to members of Congress, saying that they can't go home for the Easter recess until the troops come home. And if you go to stop-losscongress.org, there's some great video of their efforts over the last few days. Another activist will join us. Marcy Winograd challenged Jane Harman in her Southern California congressional district in 2006, and she is organizing a protest, and this is heads up for our Sacramento listeners, tomorrow in the capital city at 10 a.m., to protest plans to issue more bonds to build more prison cells in the state of California. And Marcy is opposed to that. If you want to join her, we'll give you the information before the end of this hour. Next hour, Scott Dick in our regular weekly update on military and veterans affairs. Sure, we're going to talk about Admiral Fallon. And is David Petraeus being groomed to replace him? After all, he dances to the tune that Dick and W play for him. Also on today's program, we're going to talk to Paul R. Loeb. He is a reporter who has published, for my money, the best piece so far on the NAFTA-Canada wink and nod story that appears to have been significant in hurting the prospects for Barack Obama, particularly in Ohio. And it is very interesting. We'll share the details as we head into the free speech zone in our third hour today. But the bottom line is that it appears that the Obama campaign was approached by the Canadians, did not seek the meeting, and that the memo that came out of that meeting misrepresented what was discussed. And then the Clinton campaign seized on it. So we're going to give you the breakdown on that a little bit later on in the program today. As usual, you can call in and chat with us. That's what makes this a two-way street. 888-5-PETER-B is our toll-free number. You got that? 888-573-8372. And you can always email me, peter@peterbcollins.com, or, hey, if you think I'm unfair to your candidate, try fullofit@peterbcollins.com. Avoid the temptation to add an SH. It will go nowhere, or it'll go somewhere else. Faz Shakir is the co-editor of the Daily Progress Report. He is research director of the Center for American Progress in Washington. His colleague Larry Korb was on with us yesterday. Faz, how are you?
I'm doing fine, Peter. How are you this week?
Well, I'm just trying to keep up with everything, and the Spitzer scandal makes it that much more difficult because the coverage has been out of whack to bring us every salacious detail there. And I think it is quite a distraction, and it's starting to recede a little bit, at least here. How about for you?
I mean, there was a while where I was visiting websites this morning, as I do, and try to get a sense of what's going on in the news today. And I think every site I visited over a span of 30 minutes had a picture of young Kristen, and it was just it was plastered all over the place, and you just couldn't read any news without coming across a new picture. So I was glad. I think that subsided a bit.
Well, on Monday when this first broke with the partial apology, my first prediction was, oh, now we've got to meet the hooker. The media will not let us off on that one.
Yeah. And she came across as quite the sympathetic figure, I'm sure. You're reading some of the profiles on her as well.
Well, Entertainment Tonight's all over the story.
So that's where you get your entertainment news.
Well, actually, late last night I was flipping around on the HD side, and I found a couple of channels I'd never looked at before, and one of them was running Entertainment Tonight, and gosh, they were giving us up close and personal on Elliot Spitzer and this political story. And I didn't think they could operate anywhere, you know, more than 30 miles outside of Hollywood.
Yeah, and you know that's probably the most political news that those shows ever do, and that's a sad fact.
Yeah,
Faz, call that political news.
Let's turn to other things that it may disappoint our listeners because they don't involve sex. But I caught up with some stories at Think Progress today, and there are a couple about Karl Rove. And let me mention, in case people know about the Progress Report, which is progressreport.org. But your active blog and update site is thinkprogress.org, and you do a great job there. There's so much interesting content, and you update it almost every 20 minutes, it looks like.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, well, we try to get something up on the hour every hour, and so our job is in the morning we get in and we do the progress report, and for the rest of the day we're trying to track the news and bring interesting news to our readers, and Think Progress is the best place, as you know, in the blogosphere to be able to do rapid response, real-time information, and so that's where we spend the rest of our day.
And there's a new look coming tomorrow? Is that what
I
picked up?
That's what we're unveiling a new redesign, and we're going to have a new graphical look to the site. We're going to have some new functionalities. We're excited about it. Hopefully people will come and take a look.
And will there be video of Kristen?
No. If we didn't have her today, we probably won't have her tomorrow. If you're looking for that, I'm sure there are plenty of other places to go.
Well, there are two entries about Karl Rove that fascinated me, and let me go to the earlier one first. He said in a speech where he earned $40,000 at a university that he fully expects to be indicted before the end of this year. I find that welcome news. Was he serious?
No, I think he was joking because he was encountering some rough, a hostile reception. And so he was kind of joking of the fact that he was once under such intense scrutiny and was under this great speculation that he would be indicted. And I think he was giving a bone to his audience there. And of course, in true Bush fashion, making a joke about something of which he shouldn't be joking about.
Well, did he add, and of course I'll be pardoned 48 hours after?
He certainly could have, and the audience wouldn't have. Yeah, I mean, here's the interesting part of the story is that you and I talk about it, and we wonder about whether he was joking or not because of the figure that Karl Rove is and has become. You know, you kind of wonder that issue of indictment always hangs over his head. You kind of wonder at some point whether it will actually happen.
Yeah. And the other is this beautiful quote. I've been privileged to work for two men whose last name is Bush. George H.W. Bush and George W. Bush are two pretty remarkable men. And I've learned a lot from them, learned a lot about life, learned a lot about character, learned a lot about loyalty and trust and honesty and straightforwardness. I mean, this is completely tongue-in-cheek, isn't it?
Well, that's the definition of loyal Bushy, is it not?
I mean,
to be a loyal Bushy, you must say that President Bush is the most honest and straightforward and trustworthy man you've ever met, and that's Karl Rove is, by definition, loyal Bushy. And I'm sure he'll go to his grave. And that's why, by the way, he's been put in charge of the Bush Library, where he is polishing up the Bush legacy, and I'm sure we're going to see quite the revised history of the Bush presidency and down in the Southern Methodist University.
One more Rove item, and then we'll get to the Dissembler-in-Chief. Fox News is continuing to use his commentary services without acknowledging his connection to the McCain campaign.
Karl Rove is shaping up to going to be a big player in this campaign, not only behind the scenes, but openly. And this is going to be different, I think, from 2004, where he was the architect behind the scenes. Now he's going to be the architect on Fox News, doing what Fox News does best, which is be a propaganda arm for the Republican Party. And so he has acknowledged openly that he's an informal advisor to the McCain campaign, yet he goes on Fox News every day bashing the Democrats and praising John McCain, and Fox has decided they aren't going to inform the audience that their guest pundit here is a part of the McCain campaign. I think that's a disservice, but of course it reveals what Fox News actually is.
Well, in a priceless quote from the March 12th O'Reilly BS Factory, quote from Karl Rove, Obama is inexperienced and not fit to be in commander-in-chief. He has too thin a record to be considered a serious candidate for president. Now, this is chutzpah that puts Geraldine Ferraro to shame.
Are you suggesting that George W. Bush was inexperienced and not a serious candidate for president in 2000?
His record was thinner than my fingernail, the one I'm extending right now.
I hope you aren't thinking that John McCain was a better alternative in 2000, because certainly Karl Rove was making the argument that John McCain would not be a better commander-in-chief than inexperienced George W. Bush in 2000, and my, how the tables have turned.
Well, I just won't accuse McCain of having a thin record. It's a very thick one.
It certainly is.
Replete with poor judgments, but
right.
But there is a record there, to be sure.
Exactly right.
Now, just one more little item before we go to the break. Robert Ney, Republican from Ohio, sentenced to jail for his connection to Jack Abramoff and his receipt of gifts in exchange for services. Not sexual services. We should be clear about that. This is just ordinary congressional services. And he is now in a halfway house in Ohio, and he has been engaged by the Talk Radio News Service as a correspondent.
Yeah, which is considered a liberal talk radio network, and it befuddled all of us that he is now going to be on that network of all networks.
Now, this is Ellen Ratner's network?
That's right. Ellen Ratner, Victoria Jones is their White House correspondent.
Yeah, because they appear on the Tom Hartman Show, and I'm going to be hosting that on Monday.
Fun to listen to.
Well, is she just a friend of Bob Ney's, or...?
I don't presume to know exactly what the backroom negotiation for this was. Maybe it was an attempt to get publicity for the network. I don't know, but it doesn't make a lot of sense.
All right. Well, I know Ellen is traveling with Tom Hartman in the Sudan, in Darfur, and so I don't know if I'll see her at Talkback America, but I'll talk to some of her colleagues and see if I can find out a little more. We will be in Washington Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday next week, originating from the Take Back America conference. Faz, I hope you'll stop by. And,
yeah, I will.
I'll be subbing on the Tom Hartman program on Monday and Tuesday, as well as holding down the regular Peter B. Collins show. We're going to continue with Faz Shakir in just a moment, talk about Admiral Fallon's resignation and President Bush's latest BS about the need for immunity for telephone companies. That's next here on the Peter B. Collins show.
You know. know you move too fast. This is Professor Mossberg, your host of the Poetry Slowdown, asking you to join me Sundays at high noon. We're talking about poetry that makes a difference, and we want to hear from KRXA listeners who think for yourselves. Our theme this month is the poetry of trees. Here's your assignment. Call in with a line you love about a tree or that makes a difference. This is a new kind of news we need. We're launching here at 5:40, Sunday, noon. Together we'll make the morning last.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. To experience one-of-a-kind dishes, don't forget the weekly specials. The Mexicali Grill is open Monday through Saturday for lunch until 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
Beyond Wheat Artisan Bakery, right here in Monterey, brings you sugar-free and gluten-free muffins and cakes that are all natural, with organic ingredients and loaded with super grain nutrition. Find Beyond Wheat at Whole Foods Market in Monterey and Cornucopia Community Market in Carmel. Be sure to try Beyond Wheat for a truly special treat, created to keep you happy and totally guilt-free. You'll be so glad you did.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service has two locations to serve you better wherever you live. Both locations feature full-service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Juan specializes in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for fast, friendly, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service, now located in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road in Soquel Drive in Aptos Village, across from the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Give Juan a call at 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service full service.
Don't forget to ask Juan how KRXA listeners can save an additional 10% at Wilson's Tire and Service.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. 23 minutes after the hour, talking with Faz Shakir, co-editor of the Daily Progress Report. You can get it free in your email. Log on to progressreport.org. And Faz is research director at the Center for American Progress in Washington. Faz, your lead story today lists the first casualty of the war with Iran. And in your estimation, it is one Admiral William Fallon who has fallen on his sash decided to retire early. And some of the speculation is that David Petraeus will be chosen to replace him and may actually have been a factor in his early retirement.
That's right, yeah. The early reports here are from inside sources that are now coming out is that David Petraeus was the one who pushed the White House to make a move for a variety of reasons. One is that he clearly, on a policy level, didn't get along with Fallon. He didn't see eye to eye. So there was Fallon wanted to talk about restraining the surge, bring it back to manageable levels, retain the military strength, and take a wider approach to the region, things that I think you and I would agree with. Petraeus, of course, is wedded to the surge and wants it to continue, and so there was a clash of policy, and of course Petraeus, being wedded to President Bush, was able to convince him that Fallon was the one that needed to go. So that was one of the primary reasons that Fallon had to bow out. The other, of course, is that Fallon just held a variety of views that contrasted with administration policy, and apparently this is not an administration that likes to tolerate dissent. And so over time, Robert Gates, the defense secretary, said there was a cumulative effect. Over time, there was so much stuff that they disagreed on that Fallon just couldn't stay around.
But Faz, Petraeus is a smart guy. I've never met him, but, you know, I've watched him testify and seen him at least on television. And the thing that's short-sighted here is that it appears that he is lining up to be the next short-term CENTCOM commander, because it should be pretty easy to read that unless John McCain wins in November, there will be wholesale replacements in top military brass, particularly in the war theater, if a Democrat is elected president.
Yeah, I think that's right. But if John McCain were elected president, I think, you know, God knows what Petraeus could become. I mean, we're talking perhaps Secretary of Defense or at the highest levels you can imagine. And I think you're right that Democrats, while they have respect for Petraeus, I think would value the advice and the perspective of people like Fallon and try to bring them back. People like Eric Shinseki, who were proven right over time, but whose views were marginalized. I think that those would be the voice. Tony Zinni, another one. People whose voices were marginalized because they disagreed with administration policy, but have been vindicated, and those are the people I think who would be looked to in a Democratic administration.
So the president took to the airwaves earlier today. I'm sorry, I slept in and missed it. But he was there pumping once again, pumping and thumping, pumping for amnesty for the phone companies and thumping the Congress for really, you know, leaving the American people vulnerable because we can't do massive wiretappings. Now, that's not true, because any wiretap that was in place before the Protect America Act expired is good for the duration, and the FISA law is still there if he wants to institute new wiretaps. So it's an empty set of arguments clearly designed to protect the phone companies and to protect the administration from embarrassing disclosures.
That's the core issue right there. Bush fearmongering again said today that your children won't be safe. I mean, he's gone overboard here. But the core issue is John Conyers, the House Judiciary Committee chairman, has laid it out, is that they can't grant immunity for something that they don't know what they're granting immunity for, right? And so they don't know exactly the full details of what deals the administration struck with these telecoms and whether there was a law breaking involved. Certainly there was, but like to what degree was their understanding on the front end about what they were doing, and did the telecoms just play along, or was there pushback? Those kinds of things. Was there any letters signed that indicated some authority given telecoms? There's a lot of details we still want to figure out.
And, Faz, was there a vote today? Because Reyes, chair of House Intelligence, was saying he's going to put up the amnesty free bill for a vote.
Well, they are in a delay mode right now because the House Republicans have asked to go into closed session, and it's simply a tactic to avoid having to vote on this. And so they are now going to be heading into a closed session before they get a chance to vote on it.
Okay. And, Faz, you note at Think Progress that Pat Buchanan went sideways on MSNBC last night, told another guest to shut up. The other thing is I had a TiVo breakdown yesterday, and it recorded all the MSNBC shows, and Pat Buchanan was on every damn one of them. Will somebody give him a break and give us a vacation, or just the other way around, give him a vacation and give us a break?
That's great.
It's too much. Thank you, Faz. I'll see you soon.
Hey, Peter.
Faz Shakir at the Center for American Progress. Coming up next, activist David Rubinson giving stop-loss orders to members of Congress.
For Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The Osgood Files, sponsored in part by Franklin Templeton Investments, providing a unique perspective to investors for over 50 years. Franklin Templeton Investments gain from their perspective. I'm Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network. Energy demand is increasing along with the threat of climate change. The more conventional power plants there are and carbon fuel we burn, the worse the greenhouse gases that cause global warming. So it's no wonder nuclear power is gaining favor again. But it's not a simple solution or a cheap one by any means, as we'll find out after this.
How would you describe your mortgage company?
Quicken Loans, we're the most upfront, honest, and the best deal going.
How about the process you went through to get a mortgage?
It was the most seamless, easiest process I think I've ever gone through.
What would you say about your mortgage banker?
Always there for a telephone call or an email.
Quicken Loans shined far above everyone else.
Those were real people talking about real experiences with Quicken Loans. If you're not talking about your mortgage company like that, call 800-980-6011 today. Quicken Loans knows getting a mortgage can be intimidating and confusing. That's why we're working to change that with our exclusive technology that makes getting a mortgage quicker, easier, and more personal, all at the lowest rates we can give you. See what Quicken Loans clients are talking about today. Call 800-980-6011. Equal housing lender licensed in all 50 states. Call 800-980-6011. That's 800-980-6011.
The most recent nuclear plant to go online in the United States near Watchbar Reservoir in Tennessee took 22 years to build and cost $7 billion. All the time it takes and all the money it costs to build one of these things is a huge deterrent to investors. Not to mention that for some reason nobody seems to want a nuclear power plant in his own backyard. Plus, concern about nuclear fuel being converted to weapons grade by bad guys, the long-range problems of nuclear waste. And although many environmentalists are worried enough about global warming to consider pretty much any alternative to pumping more greenhouse gases into the atmosphere, others say the nuclear power industry is just exploiting global warming fears to revive an industry that's too risky to begin with. Right now, 104 commercial nuclear reactors provide 20% of the electric power we use in this country. Just to stay at that level, we would need 35 to 50 more nuclear plants by 2030 just to keep up with increased demand. So this is not a quick fix by any means. True, uranium is as plentiful as tin or zinc. You know, nuclear power is produced when neutrons split the nucleus of uranium atoms, releasing heat, which is then used to boil water, and produce steam that drives the plant's turbines. Says Jim Riccio of Greenpeace, you have better ways to boil water. Cup of tea, anyone? The Osgood File. Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network.
Hello, I'm here to tell you about Central Avenue Bakery in beautiful Pacific Grove. Every day we feature the finest and freshest healthy whole grain foods with vegan and wheat-free options for those so inclined. We mill our own organic, fresh whole grain flour daily. Galina, our Russian pastry chef, turns those fresh whole grains into delicious masterpieces. Muffins, cakes, cookies, pies, banana chocolate bars, macaroons. She adds new items all the time. We also have a variety of whole grain breads, fresh homemade sandwiches, soups, and veggie entrees made with mostly organic ingredients. Our all-you-can-eat Sunday buffet with the top vegetarian entrees, soups, salads, and desserts is locally famous. We also welcome groups, parties, and catering orders. Stop in for a latte, snack, or full meal. You'll come back again and again. Come visit us at 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey and the Old Granary Building, just two blocks from the aquarium, or give us a call at 373-2000. That's 373-2000. Central Avenue Bakery, where healthy and delicious go hand in hand.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
In this half hour, we present two activists, one in Washington trying to end the occupation, the other in Sacramento trying to stop more prisons from being built here in California.
I can't take it no more. You know you lied about the casualties. You know you lied about the WFD.
courtesy of YouTube, we bring you sound from a sit-in at First Street and Independence Avenue in Washington, D.C. yesterday. There's a supportive motorist driving by. So we have a healthy-sized crowd of protesters here. There's some flag-draped coffins in the street. And this is the effort. Oh, there's David Rubinson in a cameo appearance right there on the video. And we've got David on the telephone live from Washington right now. Hi, David.
How you doing, Peter?
Doing okay. And you, sir?
Very, very, very well. Very well.
Let me just give you one message of validation. 2 days ago, I was talking with Congressman Dennis Kucinich, obviously one of the staunchest critics of the war and occupation and a man with the clearest plan to get us out of there. And I said, by the way, have you heard anything about stop-loss orders being given to members of Congress? And he very proudly reached over on his desk and picked up his stop-loss order and started to read it to me.
This guy said he called Kucinich a couple of days ago and said, do you know anything about the stop loss?
Now, David, talk to me. Don't talk to them.
I'm sorry. I'm surrounded with the most wonderful people in the world who I met through this. They're the students from our spring break who really planned the actions and carried them out.
Mm-hmm.
And they're the ones who went to Kucinich's office to serve him with the stop loss order. And they're the ones he responded to. And he invited them in and agreed to be stop loss. And I'm telling them that you called him, a national radio correspondent called him, and said, hey, have you ever heard about the stop-loss order? He said, have I heard about it? And he reached across his desk and read it on the air. And said, oh, yeah, I've heard about it. So he agreed. This is the people who actually were in his office. Right?
Oh, that's great. Well, we've completed the circle. Now, how many stop-loss orders have you served so far?
Well, exactly 535.
Everybody's got one?
Every single member of Congress got one. Some of them more than once.
And what kind of reactions, David? Give us some examples.
Well, it was, you could expect different reactions. Brownback was not too happy with his, but Klobuchar was fairly receptive. Kucinich was elated and, in fact, as I understand, made a speech on the floor of the House yesterday about it, and the people reacted in typical ways. Nancy Pelosi was not thrilled, and Barbara Boxer had some people in there who was saying, Al Qaeda is going to shoot your head off. But literally in the waiting room. But it was really, really very interesting. People reacted the way they always react. And no surprises at all.
And tell me,
what happened was we were able to, the students were able to stop the congressmen and the senators from leaving. And the whole point was to exert the people's will over their employees.
Now, give us a couple of examples. Did they block some exits? Did they set up a human chain?
They went up to the Hart Senate building and went to the parking lot exit where all the rich people in their Lincoln town cars were in the driver, and their drivers are trying to leave at 5 o'clock in the afternoon to get out of town. And they blocked it with flag-draped coffins and chants and songs and signs. And they kneeled down and linked arms and blocked the whole exit for a hell of a long time. And let these people sit in their cars stewing over who had control over their lives.
Well, my only disappointment is that Elliot Spitzer and Geraldine Ferraro have conspired to keep your efforts off of the television news programs.
Yeah, Elliot Spitzer is keeping us off the headlines. That's really true. But because we called them, what's that woman's name? Hutton. Paris Hilton, yes. Paris Hilton came to one of our meetings.
Paris did?
Yes, she did. She came to one of our meetings.
Oh,
she was wearing
God.
A cold pink shirt. And she threatened to ruin our whole thing. But I really want you to talk to some of the real organizers of this, the people who organized the event and people who were really acted it out and carried forth the whole thing. We acted as support, but these kids really did it. So let me hand you to Robbie.
Well, David, just one moment before you hand over the phone, because I've got
to... I don't get to play program director.
No, I'm in charge here. I'm like Al Haig.
Okay, Al Haig.
Dave in Eureka wants to say hello to David Rubinson and the Stop Loss Posse. Go ahead, Dave.
I just want to say you are doing a wonderful thing. It is so good to see people finally having the courage to stand up to these criminals that occupy our government. Thank you.
Great.
All right, thank you. And David, before you go, the one thing I just want to tell you, when you came over to my secret studio a week before last, I mentioned that this is Bush's war, and you interrupted me, and I didn't feel you were rude at all. But you said, no, Peter, this is our war.
Yeah.
And we didn't ask for it. We didn't support it. We, you know, have not supported it all along the way. But we do have to accept responsibility that this has occurred on our watch. And it's our job to end it. We cannot leave it to others and simply point fingers at elected officials. We must assert our power as citizens of this country.
Absolutely,
and
right.
Your message really got through to me, and I thank you for that.
Well, that's what these students are doing. They've given up their spring break. They come all the way down here at their own expense and living, as I can tell you, from very close to contact with them. Everybody's sleeping in sleeping bags with no showers in the church. And subsisting on peanut butter and bagels.
Mm-hmm.
But they have thrown down, and they really got it together. It's such an uplifting thing. It gives you great hope for the future here.
All right. Well, go ahead and pass me
I'm
off.
I'm going to give you to Robbie Dassault, because he's really, really been instrumental in this, and I want you to hear direct from them.
Okay, great. Robbie.
There you go, Robbie, please.
Hello?
Hi, Robbie. This is Peter B. How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you, man?
I am proud of you. That's what I am.
Thank you. Thank you.
Tell me a little bit about yourself. Are you a student?
Yeah, I'm a sophomore at Catholic University here in Washington, D.C.
Okay. And tell me what has motivated you to participate in Stop Loss.
Meeting David and Jamila and talking with the vets, who I work with a lot with IVAW, and seeing the effects of Stop Loss and the effects this occupation has had on our troops, and just the blatant non-consideration and complicity of Congress mm-hmm. in allowing for Stop Loss to occur.
Yeah. And Robbie, can I just commend you, because there's a big difference between what you're doing and what I did when I was in college and protested the Vietnam War. And the difference is that I was number four in the draft. Okay, we had a lottery system, and I got picked number four. So my butt was on the line. And while I was opposed to the war on a principled basis and had a lot of good reasons for it, there's also no question that my protest activity was driven largely by self-interest, that I was concerned about what was going to happen to me if I got sent to Vietnam. And you, you might volunteer for the military if you choose to, but you're not subject to conscription. And I'm disappointed that many of your peers, college students, are kind of taking a pass on these important issues. And for that reason, I single you out and I say thank you. Because you're doing this for me and for others, and not purely out of your own self-motivation.
Well, I have to disagree with you. I think the students are here, and we don't need the draft to make us get involved. We are getting involved, and we are going to be the new face of this movement, and we are going to help end the occupation of Iraq.
Good.
It is going to be us, and we don't need the draft to make us to do it.
Okay, I'll accept that. I'm mostly telling you about myself, and I'm glad that you have that motivation right here, right now. Give me an example of the kind of reception that you got on Capitol Hill, because we had a listener who rode his bicycle all the way from Santa Cruz, California to Washington recently to bring a message of courage to Congress, and when he got there, most members and their staffs would not even see him. So what did you guys do to make sure that you were able to deliver these stop-loss messages directly to the congressional offices?
Well, something to keep in mind is that every congressional office that you go to, if you're a constituent of that office and you give them your zip code, they physically have to put that information into the record, and it would be in the record of Congress that that congressman received it. So that's one way we used to get it, and then just continuously going back, reading out loud our message and letting everyone know in that office what's going to happen and that they have been stop loss.
Mm-hmm. And have any of the people called security and tried to get you thrown out?
No, we tried to do it without getting arrested or causing much of a ruckus. We were followed around a lot. There was a police officer, attempted undercover police officer, waiting for us when we came out of the metro one day. I was asked by a cop for my ID for smoking a cigarette. They were definitely watching us, but they weren't trying to stop us anyway.
Mm-hmm. All right. Let me take a caller here. Jen in Sacramento wants to say hello. Jen, you're on the Peter B. Collins Show, and this is Robbie in Washington.
Hi, Robbie. I am so proud of you guys. And my question is there a way to forge your cause, you know, to help maybe with food and so forth and so on? So if you have any information like that, I'd greatly appreciate you to put that online.
All right, Jen. I have the web address here, and there is a donate button. I'll let Robbie answer the question more specifically in a moment. But the website is stop-losscongress. So stop-losscongress.org. And there's no space or anything between loss and Congress.
And more specifically, the students, our website, if you want to check out our whole schedule and stuff, is ourspringbreak.org.
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 Okay. No girls gone wild for you, Robbie.
Yeah, absolutely no girls gone wild.
Jen, thank you.
Thank you.
All right. And, Robbie, I have time to talk to one more of your colleagues. You want to pick somebody and pass the phone?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
Let me find her.
And by the way, if you go to the website, stop-losscongress.org, there are links to YouTube videos live from the scene as recently as yesterday. There may be even some from today. And I encourage you to check that out. All right, who's on the phone now?
I'm still trying to find him. He's on the other side of the church.
Oh, okay.
Sorry about that.
That's all right.
And actually, I think he went to Starbucks, so I'm going to find someone else.
Well, I'll tell you what, Robbie, let me stay with you because I just have one more minute here. What would you like to convey to our listeners in terms of how they can support your efforts? We heard about a donation, but would you like people to be calling members of Congress and saying, hey, don't come home for the Easter recess?
Yeah, you know what you can do? March 19th is next week. That's the fifth anniversary of the invasion of Iraq. Get out into the streets and do something. You know, do something yourself. Go to a vigil.
All right.
You can call your congressman, but on March 19th, which is next week, is the fifth anniversary of the occupation.
Mm-hmm.
And people should be doing stuff in the streets.
All right.
Everyone needs to be actively involved in the resistance to this occupation.
Robbie, thank you for what you're doing. I really appreciate it.
No problem. Thank you for having me.
I hope to meet you someday. That is Robbie, a student from Catholic University in Washington, D.C. And Stop-Loss Congress, that's the website. That's stop-losscongress.org. Coming up next, another activist, Marcy Winograd, joins us. Try to put a lid on prison construction here in California. That's next on the Peter B. Collins Show. Wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Hi, this is Sheila Gale. Listen to my show every Saturday from 3 to 5 p.m. 2 hours of in-depth talk on effective ways to help us get through life's greatest challenges, whatever the crisis. Addictions, illness, fears, breakups, money problems. I'll bring in the expert guests and we'll do it with some humor. The Sheila Show, brought to you by Sun Street Centers. For alcohol and drug treatment, go to www.sunstreetcenters.com.
G Jim Moore Income Tax in Watsonville has been helping Monterey Bay Area residents with personal income tax preparation for more than 20 years. And this year, Manager Juan Gonzalez is prepared to assist all taxpayers take advantage of tax credits and rebates especially targeted for the eco-minded. The staff of Jim Moore Income Tax specializes in fast professional income tax preparation at a very reasonable price. Do you have a naughty tax problem? Let Juan Gonzalez and his staff provide the expert assistance you need. Jim Moore Income Tax is located at 30 Alexander Street in downtown Watsonville, just two blocks from the Central Plaza. This year, let Juan Gonzalez show you where the green is for green living taxpayers. Visit Jim Moore Income Tax at 30 Alexander Street in downtown Watsonville. Be sure to take copies of your 2006 tax return and all of your 2007 W-2s and 1099s. Remember Jim Moore Income Tax for all of your tax preparation needs.
Tomorrow Matters, the premier local radio program for matching the global problems of today with the solutions for a better tomorrow, hosted by me, Deborah Lindsay, Monday to Friday, 2 to 3 p.m. I'll bring in the guests, and you call in with your questions and ideas, and we'll collectively work to set the standards for a more sustainable future, and we're doing it five times a week. Join me, Deborah Lindsay, right here on KRXA 540 a.m. for Tomorrow Matters, weekdays at 2, because for all of us, tomorrow really matters.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. Within the sound of my voice are thousands of California prison inmates.
Tonight gonna be a jailbreak.
We got your San Quentin. We got two prisons in Solano. We got two prisons in Folsom. We've got Soledad in Monterey County. And we got the SHU in Crescent City. On a good day, maybe they can catch us in Susansville, too.
Move away, do you hear what I say? From under my breath.
There are 34 or more major prison complexes in the state of California. We have more than 165,000 men incarcerated and somewhere between 5 and 7,000 women. Arnold Schwarzenegger wants to build more prisons at a time when the state can ill afford it and when our prisons are stacked with people who should not be there. There's a huge portion of nonviolent offenders who could be dealt with at the county level or through halfway houses, drug rehabilitation programs, or job training programs, or a combination of all of those. And there are more than 25,000 life prisoners, many of whom over the age of 70, who represent a threat to absolutely no one if they are released. Marcy Winograd is an activist and a progressive Democrat of California. She ran against Jane Harman in the congressional race back in 2006, and I'm ever grateful to her for that. Marcy, welcome back to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Thank you, Peter. It's a real honor to be back with you.
Well, tomorrow you are gathering in room 113 of the State Capitol building when the Board of Public Works will have a hearing about a proposal to build 53,000 new prison and jail beds here in California.
That's right. Actually, it's now 50,000 because the cost has gone up. They're estimating the cost of each cell at $220,000. But in fact, I'm on my way to the Burbank Airport to fly up to Sacramento tomorrow, and I'm urging anybody who is within the sound of my voice on your radio to join us in our protest, because what's going on is illegal in the state of California.
And why is that?
The reason why it's illegal, Peter, is because the California Constitution mandates that if the state is going to incur a debt that cannot be paid off in a year, that people have a right to vote on this. We never had a right to vote. We never got to vote on whether or not to build over 50,000 new prison and jail beds. Mm-hmm. In addition, for lease revenue bonds, which these are, even though prisons do not generate any revenue, these are lease revenue bonds, we're supposed to have public hearings. Not one public hearing was held. So you have to say, what happened? Mm-hmm. Well, the way that the Assembly Speaker Nunez and the governor got around the requirement to hold public hearings is they amended an existing bill. AB 900 was at one time a transportation bill.
Oh, really?
So they just amended it and made it a prison bill and said, we don't need any public hearings.
So that's the famous gut and amend process in Sacramento.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. And so we're saying, wait a minute, you know, Progressive Democrats of America, along with other groups like Californians United for a Responsible Budget, are saying, what is going on here. California is facing a $14 billion deficit, projected debt for next year. Mm-hmm. And what are we doing right now? We are about to authorize the sale of almost $8 billion in bonds to build these prisons, and then we'll have to pay back the interest, which is another $7 billion. So you're looking at a $15 billion boondoggle over about 20 years.
Now, Marcy, tell me honestly, because I'm not offended if this is the case, are progressives using this issue in part to try to force a top-to-bottom review of our pardon me, our prisons and our whole incarceration process in California? Because the prisons are badly broken, the parole system is a joke, a sad joke, and the juvenile system is something, you know, like Siberia in 1954. We have serious problems with our criminal justice and incarceration system in this state, and I think it's time to provoke a long-term argument about that and work to change it fundamentally.
Peter, I couldn't agree with you more, and absolutely, you know, progressives are saying, let's take a deep breath and backward plan this a little bit. I mean, it makes no sense to build more prisons. You keep building prisons, you'll warehouse more and more of our youth. And right now, one out of every four African-American men in their 20s in California is incarcerated. 70% of those behind bars are people of color. So
what's happening?
This is a social justice issue. And at the same time that this is going on, we're facing this deepening debt, and already 5,000 teachers have received layoff notices in California, and that's just the beginning
right.
in terms of cuts to education.
I'll just add one other piece here, and that is that when young Latinos go to state prison, they almost inevitably end up having to join one of the gangs, the Norteños or the Sereños, and it really puts them on a lifetime track. And
right.
we need to be smart about this and understand how to break the pattern of these pathologies. And we're being really stupid because we just keep repeating the same processes that lead to more crime, more people behind bars, and a higher cost to the taxpayer.
Absolutely. It makes no sense from a budget viewpoint nor from a social policy viewpoint, because what happens is that I know, because I'm a teacher and I work in South Central Los Angeles at a school, high school, where 65% of the students are African American, 35% are Latino, and there's a great problem with disengagement. You know, so we really have to say, what can we do in terms of our education system to engage the disengaged in California and across America? I mean, how can we make education culturally relevant to these people, to all of our youth, really? Yeah. And in so doing, how can we stem this growing dropout problem? When you look at Los Angeles Unified, you see a dropout rate of anywhere from 40 to 50%. And so what happens when students drop out? They drop in to another community, and that's often a community of crime.
Now, I want to put the word out again. Tomorrow, March 14th, 10 a.m., room 113 of the state capitol, that's where this hearing is taking place. And if you're one of our Sacramento listeners and you can take time to join them, I'd really appreciate it. If you live in Davis or even in the San Francisco Bay Area, I encourage you to make your way to Sacramento and express yourself. Because one thing I can guarantee, Marcy, tomorrow when you go into that hearing room, you're going to be seeing a crowd of people from the CCPOA, the California Correctional Peace Officers Association, and their wholly owned subsidiary, the Doris Tate Crime Victims Bureau. And they're going to fill that room, and they're going to be cheering on the idea of building more prisons and more beds and whisper, well, and more jobs for prison guards. And that is the dynamic that has been driving this process for too long, and we need citizens to be there and stand up to the union and stand up to the autocrats and say, no mas.
That's right. Absolutely. Thank you so much for getting the word out, Peter, because we need people to be there. We need people to witness what is about to happen tomorrow in California. Now, there is a chance that this could be tabled. The sale of these bonds could be tabled, given the fact that our budget is unresolved and that our own governor, as you mentioned earlier, is calling for the release of 22,000 people, because we have a lot of people behind bars who are elderly, who are disabled, who are there for petty crime. Under California law, under the three strikes law, if your third strike is for a nonviolent offense,
mm-hmm.
you still go to prison for 25 years to life.
That's right. Marcy,
so we need to do a lot of work in California in terms of getting rid of this three strikes law, in terms of overhauling our sentencing guidelines and looking at who are we putting behind bars, why do we have this drug problem, why do we have this dropout problem, how can we tackle this?
Marcy, I'm out of time. Thank you for your activism.
Okay, thank you so much,
Marcy
Peter.
Winograd, meet her in Sacramento tomorrow. Thanks, Marcy.
Thank you.
We're talking with Veronique Raskin, founder of the Organic Wine Company. Veronique, you started the company more than 30 years ago, and was it partly because you were getting headaches from wine?
Absolutely. I'm an extremely chemically sensitive person. There were no wines, no conventionally grown wines that I could really drink and enjoy until I accidentally tasted my grandfather's wine and discovered to my extreme surprise that I could drink those wines without getting headaches. More and more people suffer the results of the accumulation of toxic substances in our environment, and our tolerance is getting really strained, and therefore it takes a very little amount of a toxic substance for them to start have an unpleasant experience.
Learn more about the Organic Wine Company on the web at ecowine.com. That's ecowine.com. To place an order or ask a question, call 888-ECO-WINE. Toll free, that's 1-888-ECO-WINE. Tell them Peter B. sent you.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Rising energy prices hurt retail sales.
People just don't have that much wiggle room in their budget.
I'm Bob Fuss on Capitol Hill, where there's a new plan to deal with foreclosures.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Bill Whitney. The stock market took an early plunge this morning when the government reported that retail sales fell an unexpected 0.6% last month. Candace Corlett of the consulting firm WSL Strategic Retail says money that would normally be spent at the mall is being spent at the gas station.
We've been seeing a solid 2/5 of shoppers say, I have to spend less when I shop because the money has to go in the gas tank.
The market recovered from that shock, and the Dow closed with a modest 35-point gain. But there's more bad news about home mortgages. The foreclosure rate in February was 60% higher than the same period last year.
There's no short-term light at the end of the tunnel.
Rick Sharga of Realty Track describes the rise in foreclosures as mind-numbing.
This is Howard Arenstein in Washington. Treasury Secretary Henry Paulson says he's not trying to make excuses or find scapegoats, but wants to prevent another mortgage meltdown in the future.
Many investors became complacent about risk, and they have learned a costly lesson.
He says the administration wants new federal and state regulations to keep mortgage brokers honest.
There will be stricter safeguards against fraud and full and clear disclosure to borrowers about home loan terms, including long-term affordability.
Paulson says mortgage market mistakes were caused by poor judgment and poor practices. Howard Arenstein, CBS News, Washington.
In Congress, Democratic leaders propose giving the states federal money to buy up foreclosed houses, and they want to expand government-insured mortgages to help people avoid foreclosure. Now this.
My name is Sandra, and I shop at Walmart. I'm currently taking 5 different medications.
My name is Amanda, and I'm a pharmacist here at Walmart. I know Sandra personally, and when our $4 program came out, she was able to get a whole month's generic prescription for $4.
The pharmacy at Walmart offers more than 300 generic prescriptions for $4. Each $4 prescription is for up to a 30-day supply at commonly prescribed dosages. See Walmart.com for details. Save money. Live better. Walmart.
Taking care of business, Office Depot.
Don't miss the final week of the Office Depot Furniture Event. Office Depot has great deals on office furniture, file cabinets, and chairs for your home or office. Plus, now through March 15th, WorkLife Rewards members get 10% back in rewards on furniture and chair purchases. Not a member? Join today. It's free. Office Depot, taking care of business. Exclude special order chairs. Rewards are paid quarterly as an Office Depot reward card when you earn $10 in rewards. See store for details.
The White House acknowledges that economic times are difficult, but predicts the second and third quarters will be better as the rebate checks produce a surge in consumer spending. But beware, Anthony Burke at the IRS says scam artists are trying to get their hands on your money.
If someone calls you or emails you and says, hey, this is how you can get your payment or your refund, it's not true.
The only way to get your rebate is by filing a tax return. The callers and emailers might say they're from the IRS, but they're not. They're trying to steal your identity. In the wake of Elliot Spitzer's resignation,
Now we have to get New York back on track.
Lieutenant Governor David Patterson held a news conference today. He'll be sworn in on Monday, becoming New York's first black governor and the very first governor in the country who's legally blind. He hopes to be an inspiration.
If it in any way allows for African Americans or those who are disabled, 71% of the blind are unemployed, 90% of deaf people in this country are unemployed, maybe one of them could figure out a cure for cancer.
Patterson says he considers the current governor a friend, and Spitzer's downfall makes him very sad. Chrysler workers are taking a vacation, whether they want to or not. The company has announced a mandatory 2-week vacation in July for all employees worldwide. Keith Crane of Automotive News Magazine says supply is exceeding demand.
Their dealers may be just saying, don't ship me anything more. I've got enough.
The vacation helps the company slow down.
It takes out 2 weeks of production that they normally would have had. They obviously have plenty of inventory right now of their cars and trucks, so they feel like they don't need to have any more additional production.
Crane says Ford and General Motors have the same problem, but Chrysler has it worse. In this uncertain economy, the price of gold is approaching $1,000 an ounce. Patrick Murphy is a jeweler in Pottsville, Pennsylvania.
I had an 18-inch gold chain in my showcase. It was tagged $189. The exact chain, same style, same weight, same length, the same chain was $360-some.
Today, gold jumped $13 to $993.80. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
Another how-to half minute from the Home Depot.
Hello.
Where are you?
Looking at lawn tractors. You?
I'm in appliances. I thought we agreed on a washer.
Yeah, but you ought to see this lawn tractor.
Will it wash jeans?
Well, maybe.
Get down here.
Today's the day to get what you've always wanted. Because when you use your Home Depot consumer credit card, you can get special deferred financing store-wide. The Home Depot. You can do it. We can help. Valid through March 19th in U.S. only. See store for details.
Is Progressive.com an auto insurance utopia? Well, let's see. Progressive is more than just cascading waterfalls and lush green gardens. It's all your auto insurance wants and needs, like the chance to save hundreds and the fact that we're there for you 24/7 to answer any questions. And they're not answered by magical nymphs, but by licensed agents, which is nice. Start saving today at Progressive.com or call 1-800-PROGRESSIVE. That's Progressive.com or 1-800-PROGRESSIVE.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates, Mayfield, Fields, Ohio. Prices vary.
Live from San Francisco, the Peter B. Collins Show, the antidote to right-wing talk radio. He's thoughtful, well-informed, and brings you views and voices you don't hear in the corporate media. Here's another slice of Peter B.'s America.
Sure, we sell it by the slice. You order it, we'll deliver it. You can get a slice of the Peter B. Collins Show via podcast. Just log on to peterbcollins.com and follow the link on the homepage. I learned today that we're the number two demand podcast at green960.com in San Francisco. Glad to see it. I don't know who number one is. Sorry.
I feel so extraordinary. Something's got a hold on me.
Yesterday, we launched the Free Speech Zone with a commentary that was favorable to Senator Hillary Clinton. And today, we'll flip it the other side. We'll give you a commentary that's not so flattering to the Clinton campaign about the Ohio lie about Obama, the Canadians, and NAFTA. But this is the hour we set aside to talk military and veterans issues with my pal Scott Dick. He served in the Marine Corps and retired from the Army at the rank of Major. And he's currently driving, so I want to warn people in the Monterey seaside area to be careful. And look for that oversized van. We call it the Scott Dick Ego Van because it's the only vehicle that's actually big enough with enough headroom to house his entire ego. Hi, Scott.
Hey, Peter, thanks for the plug, dude. actually, I had to take it over to a welding shop and have the roof cut in a certain way so I could get my head inside the doorway. That was the biggest issue.
Well, you gave me a ride in that van one time, and I have never been in a vehicle with so much headroom.
Well, thank goodness for that, because it takes my entire big fat head in full volume. Kind of like the putting a, I don't know, I can't do the analogy on the air.
Okay, thank you. And can we have a Spitzer-free hour, do you think?
Who? What are you talking about? I have no idea what you're talking about, Peter.
Well, we'll do our best, and we'll see if we can hold to that. If you'd like to talk with Scott and about any of the military veterans issues that are currently on your mind, feel free to call us this hour toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-5-PETER-B, or 888-573-8372. And for the convenience of our weekend listeners in Portland, Oregon, on KPOJ, drop us an email, peter@peterbcollins.com. Well, Scott, I want to kick it off with a motivational quote from our decider-in-chief. The decision to remove Saddam Hussein was the right decision early in my presidency, Bush said to a standing ovation at the Christian Broadcasters Association, a hostile audience. It is the right decision at this point in my presidency, and it will forever be the right decision. Now, let's contrast that quote from Wednesday with a poll released on Thursday that shows that flatly still, 60% or more of Americans think going into Iraq was a disaster, a failure, the wrong decision. And here is the president 5 years later, and the miserable failure is evident to a huge majority of the nation, but not George W. Bush.
Well, Peter, besides his pathological stubbornness, in that crowd, he could have said, up is down is up, black is white is black, and they would have given him a standing ovation. So what do you expect?
As long as he said, God bless America at the end of the speech, right?
Yes, and he's wearing a flag pin, and, you know, he probably has the cutout shell of a Bible somewhere around there someplace that he can thump on.
And, you know, nobody ever asks our Bible-thumping president when the last time is he went to church. I have seen no evidence of this president going to church in years.
And he's played the evangelical community like a cheap violin.
I remain offended by the fact that religious leaders have really failed to confront him on this and have, you know, taken money from the faith-based initiatives and certainly seconded the president on many issues, including his anti-gay positions and his retro positions on abstinence and sexuality. But when it comes to the most important moral question of our time, the vast majority of religious leaders are silent to this president.
Well, you know, the war in Iraq is not so much about killing, because, you know, they're definitely pro-life. What it is that George Bush is the hand used to smite down the Islam, and that seems to be their modern-day crusade. That's the only explanation I can find for them not coming out and say, whoa, you know, do we have to kill so many civilians? Do we have to lose so many soldiers? Do we have to impoverish our nation for this, you know, vaguely uneasy war that you're putting us through? But they're completely silent, and that makes them complicit.
Yeah. Scott Dick is with us here on the Peter B. Collins Show. And, Scott, last week at this time, we speculated about the future of Admiral William Fallon. He had given that interview to Esquire magazine, which kind of maybe overstated his position, but defined him as the last man standing between the Bush administration and its desire to launch a military attack of some sort on Iran. And didn't take long. He has submitted his plans for early retirement. And one of the things I wanted to ask you about, a question the listener posed the other day, is exactly how this transition will take place. We've been told that the number two at CENTCOM, General Martin Dempsey, an Army general, will take over temporarily for Fallon, and then that will occur at the end of this month when the retirement takes effect. And then Dempsey will serve until a permanent replacement is nominated and confirmed by the U.S. Senate.
Well, make no mistake, Peter, this is highly, highly unusual. He was selected and confirmed for a two-year tour, and he left after 1 year, and he called in his resignation from Iraq. Now, I thought that was very, very strange, the fact that they didn't even give him a chance to get back to Florida to CENTCOM headquarters before he could resign. So, You know, I said before that I give Gates the big bullet points for some of the things he's done, but for him to take his resignation yesterday seems unconscionable. And the neocons are really, really happy. I mean, they've applauded this. They're writing all sorts of slurs against him, saying that he just didn't get it. Perhaps he's retiring because he's tired and doesn't have the stamina to make it through this. And it's a bunch of crap. He's leaving because the White House wants him gone, and he's giving them faith, and he's taking it on the chin. So as far as the process, this is a nomination, what they call a nominative process. So the president can select whomever he wants, who is at least a one-star flag rank officer from any of the services, including the Public Health Service, if you wanted to.
Really? Coast Guard, too?
Coast Guard, whoever he feels like, who could serve the needs of the nation as commander of CENTCOM. He could be a one-star general, a one-star admiral, and they can he can elevate him. He can nominate him and elevate him, just like, you know, our favorite general who left over three stars as Haig, and what a fantastic four-star general he turned out to be. And so it's the nominee process of it really has to do with the job itself. So the rank that he gets by being a three-star or four-star is not permanent. And then that goes to the Senate, and unless the Senate has really good reason for not approving it, it's basically a rubber stamp. He'd have to be involved, I think, in Abu Ghraib or Tail Hook or something like that to keep from getting confirmed, and then he would go take the reins at the CENTCOM. So it's a process. And I wouldn't be surprised if the neocons are already begging for Petraeus because he is a genius and he needs to go over and run CENTCOM because they think one of the reasons that Fallon, or they're saying, they're floating this, one of the reasons that Fallon resigned is because he's been completely overshadowed by Petraeus' success. Another load of crap coming out of the neocons' lips.
Well, and Scott, at thinkprogress.org today, they cite the Washington Post website where former intelligence analyst William Arkin writes that Petraeus is the man most responsible for the departure of Fallon because the two were at odds on virtually every element of Iraq policy. And here's a quote lifted, and this is citing Arkin. Yesterday, I was hearing from Pentagon officials, high-ranking military officers, and close observers of the building that the two were at odds on virtually every element of Iraq policy, which, of course, put Fallon on a collision course with the White House. In other words, Iran was the excuse, but Iraq was the reason.
Yeah, I buy that. I have no evidence. I haven't seen anything to counter that. It seems like that in the case of, for example, the war czar, who we, to great fanfare, was appointed to head both the Afghani and the Iraqi wars, and then he went where? He's probably down in the Pentagon basement cafeteria drinking sodas and reading paper all day. That's what he does.
Remind me of his name. I've forgotten him.
Me too.
Yeah.
Because it's imminently forgettable. And so, you know, it doesn't surprise me that it was pretty shocking, I think, to the Army and the Marine Corps that he picked an admiral to begin with. And so probably whoever suggested Fallon as a CENTCOM commander is going to get torched because obviously they picked somebody with a brain and somebody who could stand, who would stand up to Bush. That didn't work. And so the next guy will be obsequious? Is that the right word?
Obsequious. That's right. Ass kisser. We can say ass kisser.
Okay, he'll be an ass kisser, and that means he'll rubber stamp, whatever Petraeus wants. That's not really how the chain of command is supposed to work.
Mm-hmm. Now, a little bit more from Arkin here. He says Fallon believed that the surge, in quotes, should be brought to a quick and successful conclusion, but Petraeus had the White House and Fallon, despite command and authority, to set priorities and decide on what resources are needed. Fallon was frozen out. Most recently, the two top commanders disputed the length and purpose of the pause in troop withdrawals from Iraq this summer. Fallon thought it should be temporary and brief, while Petraeus wants to wait until as late as September to decide when to bring home more troops. So this is a very interesting situation. And if Petraeus is the nominee, hey, he and Crocker can come in for their April briefing. And he can be coronated. The coronation can occur right there because we know that the Democrats in the Senate have been incredibly lame at opposing the bad nominees of this president. And there is no reason to believe that they won't bend over and give David Petraeus, the CENTCOM commander post, if he's nominated by the White House.
And the thing that makes this the most egregious is because a CENTCOM commander has to coordinate multiple issues. He just can't focus his sole attention on Iraq because, in case anybody forgot, there's also conflict going on in Afghanistan that Petraeus has nothing whatsoever to do with. So when you take somebody whose only interests are parochial, then that fight will lose. Plus, you have other things going on in Central Command's bailiwick, and so you just can't focus on Iraq. And the surge, Peter, if the surge has worked or is working, then, well, let's say has worked, as they all said it would and did, then why can't the troops come home? Because they've won the war, and they should be able to come home and reduce.
You got it right. Scott, we're going to take a break and continue. We'll go to the phones in the next segment. You can call in and talk with me and Scott Dick this hour at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. More coming up on the Peter B. Collins Show.
You're listening to KRXA 540.
Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares. The Carmel Valley Market is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Carmel Valley residents can now easily access the tradition of service and quality made famous by the Higuera family at the Grove Market in Pacific Grove. The Carmel Valley Market features the finest selection of fresh local fruits and veggies, as well as a full-service old-fashioned meat counter with USDA choice cuts. And don't forget the deli with delicious fresh sandwiches made to order. The Carmel Valley Market is located at 2 Chambers Lane, just behind Wells Fargo in Carmel Valley Village. Let the Carmel Valley Market's professional staff meet all of your grocery needs. Stop by and say hello to Ian and Gary Higuera, members of Charlie's family.
Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 1584 Del Monte is locally owned and operated by the May family and features delicious, authentic, inexpensive Chinese food prepared to order every day. Make this the year you become personally acquainted with the May family and Jim's Restaurant at 1584 Del Monte in Seaside. Jim's specials are still $5.75 for lunch and $6.50 for dinner per person. Stop by 1584 Del Monte or call 394-5117. Don't forget, Jim's is tops for takeout and catering too. Call Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 394-5117.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, the host of the new show, curiously enough, called The Scott Dick Show, weekdays following the Peter B. Collins Show. Every evening from 6 to 8 p.m., we'll talk about local and regional issues, national and international politics, military and veterans affairs, and anything else that hasn't been lip-smacked to death already. So hang around after the Peter B. Collins Show and tune in to the gift you just can't return, The Scott Dick Show, weekdays 6 to 8 p.m., where I'll shoot from the lip and take no prisoners. Checking traffic on KRXA. We have a stall in Watsonville right now, Harrington Road at Sill Road. It's a broken down truck. It is partially blocking the roadway. For 17, couple of debris items. Northbound 17 after the summit, some sheetrock. That's between the lanes. And in Scotts Valley, southbound 17 at Granite Creek Road, we have a roll of insulation in the lanes there. Otherwise, Highway 17, no accidents and no stalls. Highway 68, Highway 1 and 101 through Salinas, we have no problems to tell you about right now. There is that road work going on in Santa Cruz, though. Northbound 1, it has the Emmeline Avenue off-ramp shut down until this summer. That may cause delays in the area. This report is brought to you by Carfax. A flood-damaged car is like a ticking time bomb. Nearly half of these flooded cars get fixed up and resold. Want to avoid them? Ask your dealer for a free Carfax vehicle history report or go to Carfax.com. If you're out and about and you spot a traffic problem, give us a call, 415-901-7990. I'm Nate Nix, and that's traffic on KRXA.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, talking military and veterans issues. We're taking your calls toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. And on a personal note, I want to dedicate this hour to the memory of Rear Admiral Edward F. Welch, Jr. Eddie Welch was my cousin, and I learned today that he passed away in January. I was planning to visit him in Washington over the weekend. Eddie Welch served in World War II. Was part of the occupation team in Japan, went on to command two submarines, and also was part of the military crew that attended the strategic arms limitation talks, rounds one and two. And Eddie Welch will be buried at Arlington National Cemetery on March 26. Thanks, Eddie. We continue with Scott Dick, and we've got Bill on the line from Carmichael, listening to KSAC. Hello, Bill. You're on the air.
Hey, how you doing?
Pretty good, sir.
Scott, as you're aware, the guy from the Naval College, Burnett, I think his name was, and also David Griffin and quite a few other people have been warning us about the strategy was to go into Iran because of the global domination project and the extension of Clean Break. And then all of a sudden, when we got ready to attack them, we started to realize that the Persian Gulf was going to be ruined during that kind of a war. So in the meantime, they opened up the pipelines to take the oil from Iraq into Haifa in northern Israel. Well, now that pipeline is finished, and we have protection for it. A lot of it's underground. It goes through the adjacent countries there. So now, there's not with the resignation of this admiral, now there's nothing really to keep us from going in because we're not worried about them destroying the Gulf, the Persian Gulf.
All right, Scott,
what do you think about that?
What do you know about this, Scott?
Well, on the surface, they can build all the pipelines they want to protect Iraqi oil. The Iraqis are producing a fraction of what they did even under Saddam Hussein. And if, the things we forget about is that Japan gets almost 50% of its oil from Iran. We get a number of untold barrels of oil from Iran as well through Halliburton Shell companies. And so the expert I interviewed before said that we'll probably go, if they attack Iran, the price of a barrel of oil will probably go to $200, and that we'll have an oil shock around the planet. The Iranians would not take this sitting down. And even though they have refinery problems, they would figure out a way to punish us. And the Iraqis being, cousins of the Iranians, the Shia, this wouldn't be good, nor would it be smart, nor would it be strategically smart. And so there are a lot of stumbling blocks to even making a surgical, and I use that word surgical in quotation marks, a surgical strike in Iran, because it would have how do they put that, Peter? Unknown consequences.
Right.
Of many, many like the unknown consequences.
It would be the unknown unknowns.
Well, the unintended effects. I'm sorry. Right. The unintended effects that we have. We've seen many of the types of unintended effects consequences in Iraq that the neocons never accounted for. And so they're using a kind of political calculus that is extremely dangerous.
Bill, go ahead.
Well, right now, though, we were about ready. We had a couple of fleets over there. We were about to attack them before, and the only thing that slowed us down, as I said, they were concerned about the oil supply for the rest of the world, and that if they cut that off, the Persian Gulf was shut down, then we'd be endangering Israelis and U.S. supply of oil. But now that the Haifa things are finished, we have a guaranteed supply. We don't have to worry about and plus we need Iran as part of this overall strategy for the Middle East to secure that part of the world. And so right now it seems that this is a move to get rid of this admiral because he's the one that was standing in the way of that strategy. And Bush has promised recently, two things happened. They signed an agreement with the illegitimate government that's in Iraq, saying that they could give 40% of the oil now.
Bill, I got to leave it there. Thanks for your call today. More with Scott Dick in a moment.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Who are the others? This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. I have to talk about the Spitzer case again because otherwise I'd have to talk about the price of oil, which is now the only commodity more expensive than Kristen. Kristen, the $1,000 an hour escort who, it turns out, isn't really Kristen. She's 22-year-old Ashley Alexandra Dupre, who left home to become a singer. I think she's going to make it. But here's the other thing. Everyone now knows that on February 13th, Kristen went to room 871 to meet with client number 9. Nobody seems to care that on January 13th, Kristen went to room 2006 to meet client number 1. Or that on January 15th, Emily went to room 1916 to meet client number 2. Or that in Los Angeles on January 24th, Samantha headed for room 506 to meet client number 3. And so on for clients 4, 5, 6, all the way up through client number 10, who actually paid to fly a girl named Chrissy from L.A. to Chicago for a tryst on March 4th. All of them could face the same charges Spitzer could face. Money laundering, tax evasion. But who are they? We don't know. Law enforcement isn't leaking their names. They may not be governors, but I'll bet they're important. Unimportant people don't pay $1,000 an hour for aspiring singers. Spitzer got one thing right.
I've insisted, I believe correctly, that people, regardless of their position or power, take responsibility for their conduct.
There are 9 other shoes left to drop. Now this.
So, hon, how do you want your hair done?
Oh, I just want to try something really different.
Okay, well, if we trim your disorganized finances, layer your expenses, and give your late invoicing some body, you'll look just like a movie star.
Is running your business getting in the way of running your business? That's why millions of businesses rely on QuickBooks software to easily handle routine chores, like organizing finances and tracking expenses, so you can get back to what you do best.
You are a stylist, aren't you?
Award-winning.
QuickBooks. Get back to business. Start today at QuickBooks.com.
This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network.
Hi, this is Ruben Dosal Jr., author of My Dad's Thoughts, Bits and Pieces of Life, extending to you a personal invitation to attend my reading and book signing at Curves in Hollister, starting at 3 p.m. sharp this Saturday, March 15th. Come and participate with me and other friends and supporters as we celebrate together the possibilities that life, family, and friends offer to us. Please remember the time and place, 3 p.m. this Saturday, March 15th at Curves, just behind the McDonald's at 1715 Airline Highway in Hollister. The easiest way to Curves in Hollister from 101 is to take 156 towards Hollister until you come to Union Road. Make a right on Union Road and follow it for about 4 miles until you come to Airline Highway, also known as Tres Pinos Road. On Tres Pinos Road, make a left and go to stoplight, and you can see McDonald's on the right hand side, and Curves is right behind it. I look forward to seeing you this Saturday afternoon at 3 p.m. in Hollister for a very special community gathering.
Hi, I'm John.
And I'm John.
And we're from All Class Transportation, where we take you to your special event in style, comfort, and safety. All Class Transportation is a truly professional local luxury transportation company with over 25 years of combined managerial service, an efficient, proactive staff, trained, certified chauffeurs, and a fleet of well-maintained luxury vehicles. We are well-suited to meet and exceed your specific needs.
All Class Transportation specializes in personalized luxury transportation, including company parties, corporate events, weddings, quinceañeras. Whatever your needs, call All Class Transportation at 831-582-9338. That's 582-9338. Want to know about our rates? At All Class Transportation, our service and rates are second to none, period. We are All Class Transportation, TCP 22978A. Call us at 831-582-9338. That's 582-9338.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. He's smart, funny, well-informed, opinionated, and mild-mannered, except when he's not. Welcome to Peter B.'s America.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, spending this hour with Scott Dick, our contributor on military and veterans issues. Lines open for you at 888-5-PETER-B. Was it a war about oil? Well, it's very interesting in memory of the fifth anniversary of our invasion of Iraq. Some activists planned this weekend to blockade the Chevron Texaco refinery in Richmond, that is just east of the Golden Gate Bridge here on San Francisco Bay. And I have not been able to independently confirm an assertion that these activists made in an email that I received the other day, but I find it interesting and worth investigation, and that is that they assert that over 1 million barrels of Iraqi oil is arriving at the Chevron refinery in Richmond every month. And I didn't realize that. You know, we've heard these reports about how oil production and exports in particular have not achieved even pre-war levels because of the problems and our failed reconstruction, security issues, and on and on. But if this is the case, then people within the sound of my voice, not to overuse that phrase, who gas up at Chevron or Texaco, you're running that gas-guzzling vehicle of yours on Iraqi oil. I just urge you to think about that. Make your decision at the pump wisely. Scott, anything you want to add to that? I was a little surprised when I read that earlier this week.
Well, I'm not surprised. I'm surprised that oil gets here from Iraq. There's an article from January, Harper's Magazine, called "The Black Box of Oil."
I read that, yeah.
And you know, they just it's crippled. It was crippled before. It was crippled by the first Gulf War. It never got back up to speed. And the investment that we would have to make as a nation into the Iraqi oil system is in the billions. And so we're already spending billions, and at the same time, the Iraqis have a budget surplus, and they're not spending it. And then they have money here in the United States to the tune of $35 billion. That was the whole brouhaha over Bush vetoing the last defense appropriations bill.
Right.
So the Iraqis are not using their own money that they're getting from their oil. We're pumping billions. I just read a report during the break. The dollar is now, in some cases, not even being accepted in New York City. Merchants want to get paid in euros.
Well, drug dealers are no longer accepting dollars. In Latin America, in cocaine country, apparently the euro is now dominating the drug trade.
You know, people do not understand what that means. If the global economy switches to the euro, then, you know, the United States is going to become a banana republic because we have so much debt. Not in the foreseeable future, one, will the dollar recover and make it a currency that's tradable at any level, and two, it'll take a couple of decades, really. I don't think I'm exaggerating, to get our economy back on its feet,
yeah.
Notwithstanding the $12 trillion we're pouring down the crapper in Iraq.
Yeah. No, you're not exaggerating, Scott. And I'll just add to the Chevron story that prior to the year 2001, when Condoleezza Rice joined the Bush administration, she served as a director of the then Chevron Corporation. It's now Chevron Texaco. And there was even an oil tanker called the Condoleezza Rice. They stripped that name off the side of that ship after she joined the government. But, you know, when you remember Cheney's connection to KBR, well, we also have to remember Rice's connection to Chevron. And speaking of Halliburton and Kellogg Brown Root, Scott, they've been in the news in an unflattering way in several respects recently. One is that we learned that almost half of their contractors work through the subsidiary that is chartered in the Cayman Islands. And so all of these huge profits that Halliburton has been earning from these no-bid sweetheart contracts in Iraq and elsewhere don't pay Social Security, don't pay Medicare, don't pay income taxes, because these people are declared independent contractors, and many of them use other games to dodge paying those taxes, even if they're U.S. citizens.
Well, it wasn't so much of them being called independent contractors. It's just that if they were hired as employees of the Cayman Islands, of course they didn't have to pay taxes in the United States. And I don't want people to forget that Dick Cheney started the process of moving his subsidiaries over to the Cayman Islands.
That's right.
And before he was elected as vice president.
That's right.
And they've continued to war profit off the backs of the American taxpayer, off the blood of Iraqi citizens and our soldiers. And I'm really shocked, Peter, that the American average American is not livid over this. And it just tells me, I think, that the right-wing propaganda machine is working. They would rather talk about missing a teenager girls. And spring, I saw a big thing on Fox about how unsafe it is to go to Mexico for spring break. And either that or it was the governor, I won't say his name because I promised, the governor of New York and spring break down in Mexico being too dangerous. But the idea that KBR, I mean, we talked about this 2 years ago, Peter, that KBR was printing their logo and all the towels used at the pool by the MWR, Morale, Welfare, and Support in Iraq, even though it was like a $6,000 more. They said they don't care, it's a cost-plus contract. And they provided tainted water to the troops and didn't care. And the DOD spokesman he made a joke out of it yesterday.
Well, let's see if I can load this clip right now here and play it for you. It's loading. This is Jeff Morrell, Pentagon spokesperson.
And with regards to the Pentagon IG report on the dirty water that was supplied to troops in Iraq by KBR. What is the secretary's comment? What is your comment?
I haven't spoken to the secretary about it. You know, we've all been to Iraq several times. Everywhere you go, they make it perfectly clear that you don't want to drink the water. So I'm a little surprised myself that this is an issue. As I understand it, the bottled water, which is what you're supposed to be drinking in Iraq, had no issues whatsoever in the testing that was done. Evidently, there was some issue with some of the other water that was, I guess, primarily meant for washing. But still, based upon this IG report, which I think is over 14 months old or something by now, the period in question, there's no evidence that any of the illnesses were related to the water. So as far as we can tell, there was no widespread health risk or illness associated with the few problems that were discovered with the water system.
Now, Scott, does this pass the BS test in any way, shape, or form?
No, it's a lie. There was more than two dozen soldiers who were sickened with, hold on to your breath, Peter, even typhoid was included in a list of diseases. And KBR's own internal memoranda said that we really need to be careful. We could have poisoned the entire unit, including, you know, enough to cause fatalities. And so for this jerk-off who is employed by the United States taxpayer to completely cover, not just blame the victim, first of all, because none of these illnesses were caused by drinking water. It was caused by the despicable state of the water they used to bathe in and launder their clothes in. They didn't have a choice. It was either take a bath in this water or take no bath. Yeah. It was either to have their clothes laundered in this water or to wear dirty uniforms. And so this person, the spokesworm, you know, and this is coming out of the Bush administration, where this is the unit this is the idiots that support the troops. And, you know, all he did was cover for KBR. He didn't do anything. You know, it would have been easy for him to say, you know, as a Department of Defense spokesman, I find this outrageous, and I'm glad the Inspector General found it, and I'm sure they've taken steps to correct it. Then let's move on. You know, but no, he blames them and says, well, everybody knows not to drink the water. It was never about the drinking water.
Right.
It was about the water they use to survive besides drinking.
The gray water.
Well, it's not even supposed to be gray water. It's supposed to be clean enough so you can at least take a shower in it without getting cellulitis or boils or typhoid or any of the other things that they got from this water.
Yeah, but Scott, you know, when you take a shower like that and you climb out and you get to, you know, wipe yourself down with a KBR logo towel.
That was laundered in the water.
Yeah.
And anybody who's taken anatomy and physiology know that bacteria live on towels. That's why you should change them every other day or so. Some people even recommend every day, depending on your environment. And in that kind of environment, it didn't matter. You know, there's a commercial playing on TV where it shows a woman wiping down her kitchen with a chicken thigh. And that's kind of, you know, because they're trying to sell this product that's a decent disinfectant. And that's basically what they gave our troops, was a salmonella-ridden chicken thigh to wash themselves and launder their uniforms. And it's disgusting. And this pig of a spokesman made a joke out of it. Yeah. No emotion here, Peter.
I can tell. I appreciate your passion. Let's go to Oscar in Sacramento, listening to KSAC. Hello, Oscar. You're on the air.
How you doing today?
Pretty good.
I've got an issue regarding geopolitics here. You know, back in the 1930s, Hitler had proposed that same pipeline going through Iraq and through Israel or Lebanon, that area there. It's interesting that they're using the same route there, one. But two, it kind of guarantees that Israel, who has a strong interest in this war, has continued fuels. And the thing that what I'm seeing is the connection between that and the Israeli-owned refinery here in the United States. That one that just recently, where those guys all got killed, the fire they had there, that's related to Israel.
I didn't know that.
So it adds another dimension to all these kinds of things and why to have a guaranteed fuel source. So it's a lot deeper than people think that the relationship is to this whole nine yards.
Okay. Where could we find confirmation of that, Oscar? It's interesting, but I didn't know that Israel had an interest in any refineries in the United States.
You remember the refinery that just recently had the fire in it? That's the one. And I can get you some more information, probably just email it to you.
Yeah, peter@peterbcollins.com. I'd love to see it.
Okay, you have a good day.
Thank you, Oscar. Now to Tori, who's listening in Utah online, I hope. Hi, Tori.
Hey, how you doing?
Pretty good.
Yeah, it's me again. I called you several times. You guys, you know, put on a real interesting show.
Well, we do our best, and I appreciate that you listen.
Yeah, I just mostly wanted to... I talked to Scott last night, but I mostly wanted to remind the people or you about the fixfisa.com website where we can help back up Nancy Pelosi and Stanley Hoyer and Congress on this fight against caving in on opening up the main.
Well, you know, despite some of the concerns that I have expressed, the Democrats seem to be holding firm, and I hope that trend continues because they have the Constitution on their side, and they have popular support on their side, and they've just got to hang in there.
I agree. And this site, it's actually an ACLU site where they link you right to your newspaper to write an editorial part of it, and then on the lower parts to write directly to Congress.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I pulled it up right here, fixfisa.org.
Yeah, I got it through .com, but yeah.
Okay. Well, listen, thank you for that tip, and I hope our listeners will take advantage of this. And oh, I see, it was paid for by Leahy for Senate and Conyers for Congress. That's interesting. I'm glad to see both of them, you know, getting connected to the net roots. I think this is a very powerful way to fight this issue. Thanks, Tori.
Okay. Hey, thank you.
Yeah,
bye.
Good to hear from you. And Scott Dick, he has a show of his own that follows me on KRXA 540 in Monterey. What do you have planned for tonight, Scott?
I am running a presentation from a guy named Jeffrey Smith who wrote a book called Seeds of Deception, and it's about the true state of genetically modified foods in America and how it's not been tested by anybody except for the companies, and it's really quite eye-opening. And it's all because of an article in a local newspaper here in the Monterey County that said that Monterey, some agriculture proponents want to bring biotechnology and genetically modified seeds into the salad bowl of the world, and I think that people need both sides of the truth.
All right, air it out, and I'll call my broker and sell my Monsanto stock, okay?
Thanks, buddy.
We'll continue in a moment with Scott Dick. You can call us toll-free, 888-5-PETER-B. I remain your humble host, Peter B. Collins.
KRXA 540, progressive talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
Well, checking traffic on KRXA and a couple of problems coming in for Highway 1. Northbound Highway 1 after Fremont Street, we have reports of a stall in the center divide. Tow truck is on the scene. It looks like they're about to haul that off CHP. We'll run a traffic break to get everyone out of the way. That may cause minor delays there. Highway 1 north of the Little Soar River Bridge, getting reports of an accident. Looks like two cars off to the side. CHP on the scene and tow trucks have been dispatched to the area. For the Santa Cruz Mountains, northbound 17 after the summit, pieces of sheetrock still being reported between the lanes. Drive with caution there. Highway 68 currently checks in stall and accident-free. 101 as you go through Salinas, no problems to tell you about. Southbound 17 onto southbound 1 in Santa Cruz, just beginning to see some heavy traffic there. This is brought to you by Carfax. Was that car you're buying wrecked in a crash on Highway 68? Half of the cars salvaged in Monterey are rebuilt and resold. Ask your dealer for a Carfax vehicle history report or go to Carfax.com. If you're out and about and you spot a traffic problem, let us know. 415-901-7990. I'm Nate Nix, and that's traffic on KRXA.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale here to tell you about Monta Vista Wine and Spirits on Soledad Drive in Monterey. It's family-owned for over 40 years. They have all the best wines. It's the real deal. With a high-end liquor selection, it's all there. And if you have a special request, they'll take care of it for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits is open every day, 9 to 9. Call ahead. Your order will be waiting for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits, 19 Soledad Drive by Del Monte Center in Monterey. Reminds you to please drink responsibly.
Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. To experience one-of-a-kind dishes, don't forget the weekly specials. The Mexicali Grill is open Monday through Saturday for lunch until 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
Locally owned, the Ugly Mug Coffeehouse in SoCal Village. Always lively, always wired. We serve the best organic, shade-grown coffees, loose-leaf teas, original bar drinks, and delectable goodies in a friendly community atmosphere. Open every day, 6 a.m. till 9 p.m., complete with music, Wi-Fi, and the craziest regulars in Santa Cruz. Meet your friends or just bring yourself to the Ugly Mug, SoCal Drive at Porter Street, for lively conversations and the best cappuccino in town. Hey, what do you want? Rare frickin' sunshine? Delicious.
The Ugly Mug, SoCal Drive and Porter Street in SoCal.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show with Scott Dick, our contributor on military and veterans issues. And Scott, because you conduct a nighttime radio program in Monterey and people can catch the stream at KRXA540.com, you may miss the news hour on PBS, but I have one of these TiVo devices and so I watch it at my leisure. And there was a bizarre encounter the other night where Nir Rosen, who is an excellent reporter, an activist, he's traveled to Iraq many times, was on as the counterpoint to Freddy Krueger Kagan. As I watched Fred Kagan, the image of Freddy Krueger just came through, and I couldn't.
But a plumpish, lovable Freddy Krueger.
Right. He's got the George Lucas, sloping chin, where the chin actually disappears.
Actually, his forehead is more sloping than his chin, but go ahead.
Yeah. Anyway, he was there, and he made these incredible statements that he said there's a magnificent myth out there that there are no mixed areas in Iraq anymore, and that the ethnic cleansing is completed. And what he's saying is simply false. He is taking a few isolated areas that do that are not ethnically singular and trying to project that across the whole country. But if you go to thinkprogress.org, they have side-by-side maps of 06 and 07 of Baghdad itself. And it shows you very clearly how the Shia have consolidated their control over key areas. The Sunni are segregated in ghettos and
protected by blast walls, by the way.
Right.
So if you're on the wrong side, it looks like a big ghetto wall, but if you're on the right side, it's a blast wall, of course.
Yeah, they're penned in, and they have their own checkpoints, and the U.S. military backs up some of those. The Iraqi military does some, but often these are ethnic militias that control the checkpoints in and out of these ghettos. And this is one of the reasons that violence has receded to the 2005 level. And Bush and the propaganda machine want Americans to believe that, we're on a positive track in Iraq. And even some polls are picking up that some Americans, slightly more than half, think that if we stay in there long enough, we might actually have a victory, although that is never defined. So it's interesting to me to see that neocon spin. 5 years into this mess, they still, like the quote I gave you from Bush to the religious broadcasters at the top of this hour, they are in deep denial, and they seem to want to build on this great success, and, let's go occupy Iran for 100 years. What do you say?
Well, it's not denial. It's a part of the propaganda. They know exactly what they're saying, and they know it's a lie, and they know it's a lie when they say it. And as in Yugoslavia and during the civil war there, part of ethnic cleansing is you don't really care where the people go. You just want them out of your neighborhood. And so the 1.5, correct me if I'm wrong, Peter, million Iraqis who have fled Iraq are part of the ethnic cleansing cycle. And when they return, they'll be segregated by ethnic group, Kurds to the north, Sunnis to the Sunni neighborhoods, and Shia to the south. And when they've fully reached a point where they can repopulate Iraq with Iraqis, then the ethnic cleansing will be complete. So to say it's a magnificent myth is a lie, but it's tough to call a lie a lie, because the second liar never wins. So I think they've just got out in front of this to say they're trying to blunt every criticism that anybody with one lobe tied behind their back can say about Iraq, and this ethnic cleansing forced mass migration is one of them, which I think forced mass migration is also an international war crime.
Right.
Be wrong on that.
And I would only give you a friendly amendment to your numbers. It's close to 2 million Iraqis who have left the country and somewhere around another 2 million who have been displaced internally. There have been a few returning from Syria, not really by choice. It's because the Syrians have sealed that border and they have restricted food and other aid getting through to the refugee camps. And so some of those people are returning, but they may return to a neighborhood that has flipped from their ethnic group to the other.
Well, they could never return. They'll go into, I don't want to say concentration camps because that sounds so, Orwellian or Hitlerian, but they'll go into UNHCR set up camps that'll try to relocate them into places that are safe for them, and they'll create their own ethnically homogeneous neighborhoods, and that's how they'll resettle. And so those orange and green blobs on the map will just get bigger. They won't ever mix back, maybe another 150 years.
So, all right, let's squeeze in one more call before we run out of time here. Steve in Elk Grove, our special prosecutor. Hi, Steve.
Yeah, I still am one of those characters. I wanted to relay something that happened to me where I got arrested and charged by the VA with a federal petty offense. Now, I demanded that the case be taken to the U.S. District Court to see who should really prosecute the case, and that created all kinds of problems. I didn't know I was a special prosecutor at the time, but I knew as a federal law enforcement officer. But what was interesting about this situation is that there's no right to either a jury trial or an attorney if you can't pay for one if you go to jail less than 6 months on a federal criminal charge.
Now, is this limited to altercations with the VA, or can this happen at the post office, too?
So if you're arrested in, a national park or a VA facility or some military preserve or some reserve, you could still go to jail 6 months at a time for life without either a right to a jury trial or a lawyer. Now, the statute on this is 18 United States Code Section 19.
All right, Steve, don't do that. We're not going to look it up.
Okay, and then the other one is the federal...
No, Steve,
okay,
come on.
All right, well, actually, you have no right to an attorney or jury trial. Okay. And the other thing is I was thinking about this Congresswoman Jane Harman from Southern California, why she just wrote a letter, I guess, to the president, I don't know who, when she was complaining about the waterboarding being a torture that was illegal under international treaties,
mm-hmm.
that she could have gone to a federal judge and brought that in as a treason issue under 2382 disclosure.
Well, there you go.
Why would you just write a letter to the president that's in charge of doing what you're complaining about to begin with?
Well, because
a third party.
Jane Harman is kind of lame.
And she's a lawyer, but I don't know why she couldn't do anything about it.
All right, Steve, thanks for the counsel today. We'll send you a check. Send us a bill.
Okay. And it's water torture, not waterboarding.
That's correct. No, waterboarding is the same.
It's water. Yeah, but Peter, that just diminishes the act. It's torture, and it should be called water torture, as it was called for centuries before the Bush administration reinvented it.
You got it. Scott, thank you very much. We'll talk to you next week.
It's always a pleasure, Peter. Thanks.
Scott Dick here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Coming up next, Obama, NAFTA, Canada, and Clinton. We're talking with Veronique Raskin, founder of the Organic Wine Company, which offers more than 60 different wines made with certified organic grapes. Veronique, French wines are intimidating for some American consumers.
Mm-hmm.
How do you help break it down for us?
Don't be intimidated. What is there to be intimidated about? There's nothing too exotic about them. You either like them or you don't like them. You know, it's really simple. You either like Van Gogh or you don't. You either like the Beatles or you don't. You know, wines are really a form of a vibration in a bottle, just like poetry, just like music. And you know the style of music that you like. So maybe you're going to love French wines. And then go for it.
Learn more about the Organic Wine Company on the web at ecowine.com. That's ecowine.com. To place an order or ask a question, call 888-ECO-WINE, toll free. That's 1-888.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. Foreclosures last month were 60% higher than in February last year, with Nevada, California, and Florida especially hard hit. The Bush administration says the damage in the subprime mortgage meltdown has already been done, but it's proposing new regulations, stricter lending standards, to prevent a repeat of this misery next time. But some in Congress are calling for action right now.
With the mortgage mess getting worse by the day, Democratic leaders in Congress say more must be done, despite resistance from the Bush administration. Senate Banking Committee Chairman Chris Dodd.
We've got to be moving more aggressively here, cautiously, prudently, and thoughtfully. But aggressively, and that's what we're trying to do.
He and his House counterpart, Barney Frank, proposed federal money for states to buy up empty foreclosed houses and expanded government-insured mortgages to help people in over their heads avoid foreclosure. Frank says there's nothing wrong with helping people keep their homes.
They're not bad people. Didn't rob anybody. Didn't shoot anybody. Some of them made some unwise decisions.
And their pain, he says, is hurting everyone and bringing the whole economy down. Bob Fuzz, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
February's big drop in retail sales, 0.6% is being blamed on high energy prices. People have cut back on consumer goods to pay for gasoline and heating oil. Stephen Hoke is professor of marketing at the Wharton School.
We are clearly in a slowdown, and the consumer is feeling it, and the consumer is hunkering down, trying to wait it out, and hopefully things will get better before they get worse.
I'm Mark Knoller at the White House, where spokesman Tony Fratto admits there's no quick way to deal with record high oil prices.
From our perspective, what we need to do is keep this economy growing and focus on rising wages and job growth so that people can deal with the reality of higher oil prices.
The administration trumpets its long-term programs to promote alternative fuels and reduce consumption of foreign oil. But Fratto says higher oil and gasoline prices won't go away overnight. Mark Knoller, CBS News, the White House.
In some preliminary budget votes today, the House opposed an extension of the Bush tax cuts, which are due to expire at the end of 2010, and the Senate voted to roll back at least some of those tax cuts. Senator John McCain, who once opposed the Bush tax cuts, drew fire from Democrat Barack Obama today, who said McCain only changed his position to win the Republican nomination. There is a proposal now for a do-over Democratic primary in Florida. Karen Thurman is the state Democratic chairman.
This is by no means a done deal. We are simply putting on the table what I believe to be the only solution that we can provide from the state party.
She says ballots would be mailed to Florida's 4.1 million Democrats. They could mail them back or bring them to 50 regional voting centers. Thurman estimates this would cost $10 to $12 million. The Dow 35 points higher at the close, the NASDAQ up 19 points. This is CBS News.
That bell means the stock floor is closed for the day. But at Forex.com, you can trade foreign currencies around the clock. At Forex.com, we give you the tools you need to expand your investment portfolio into the OTC foreign exchange market. Go to Forex.com to open your free practice account today and test your trading strategies risk-free. When you're ready, just click and trade 24 hours a day, 5 days a week. When the stock market's closed, Forex.com is open for business. Forex is an over-the-counter market and involves significant risk of loss.
I want a healthcare company that helps me stay healthy.
Staying healthy matters. That's why Aetna believes in the power of preventive care. We offer plans that cover a range of preventive services from annual checkups to well baby visits at no cost to our members.
It's like they say, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure.
We want you to know. Aetna. To learn more, go to Aetna.com.
Plans offered by Aetna Life Insurance Company. Health insurance plans contain exclusions and limitations.
It's the time of year when office computer systems get a real workout, but not from work. CBS News correspondent Steve Kathan has the story.
What does your boss think of basketball?
Hampton working on Hill. Pick from
with March Madness upon us and CBS for the first time putting all 63 tournament games online, your office might suffer some computer problems next week.
Highlight reel.
Yeah, put that in a reel.
Many employers fear streaming will tie up their computer networks. Some tell USA Today they may put in filters so if workers are watching instead of working, the stream will slow to an unwatchable crawl.
Steals it. How about that from
Steve Kathan, CBS News.
Shave and a haircut? Okay, but beer and a haircut? Officials in Michigan aren't so sure about that. Thomas Martin, who runs 11 barbershops in the Grand Rapids area, had been offering one free beer with every haircut until local authorities told him to stop. Martin's asking the state to restore the practice, and one lawmaker says he doesn't see the harm because no one's getting drunk. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
My name is Sandra, and I shop at Walmart. I'm currently taking 5 different medications.
My name is Amanda, and I'm a pharmacist here at Walmart. I know Sandra personally, and when our $4 program came out, she was able to get a whole month's generic prescription for $4.
The pharmacy at Walmart offers more than 300 generic prescriptions for $4. Each $4 prescription is for up to a 30-day supply of commonly prescribed dosages. See Walmart.com for details. Save money. Live better. Walmart.
Taking care of business, Office Depot.
Don't miss the final week of the Office Depot Furniture Event. Office Depot has great deals on office furniture, file cabinets, and chairs for your home or office. Plus, now through March 15th, WorkLife Rewards members get 10% back in rewards on furniture and chair purchases. Not a member? Join today. It's free. Office Depot, taking care of business. Exclude special order chairs. Rewards are paid quarterly as an Office Depot reward card when you earn $10 in rewards. See store for details.
Live, unscripted, and unrehearsed, of course. It's the unpredictable Peter B. Collins Show, originating from that dangerous liberal enclave, San Francisco. Call in anytime toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and add your voice to Peter B.'s America.
Welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show as we launch into the free speech zone this hour. Your calls and comments are welcome at 888-5-PETER-B. As I pointed out yesterday, we kicked off the free speech zone with a commentary favorable to Senator Clinton. Today it'll be different.
I was walking down the street, concentrating on truck and right. I heard a dark voice beside of me, and I looked round in a state of fright. I saw 4 faces, one man, a brother from the gutter. They looked me up and down a bit and turned to each other.
You know, I don't like reggae. Been scouring the internets looking for an analysis
of a complicated story that surfaced just before the Ohio and Texas primaries last week, and it suggested that the Barack Obama campaign had sent secret back-channel messages to the Canadian government to the effect, don't pay too much attention to what Barack's saying about NAFTA. It's just politics, just posturing, it's just for the campaign, you don't have to worry. And this surfaced, as I say, very close to Election Day. It caught the Obama campaign off guard. It put them on the defensive. It was part of the kitchen sink strategy that we have seen employed by the Clinton campaign. And I've been looking for the details and the sequence of events to try to figure out where the truth lies here. Paul Rogat-Loeb joins us. He's the author of The Impossible, Will Take a Little While, A Citizen's Guide to Hope in a Time of Fear. And he has written widely on many issues. His commentary about this is called Did Clinton Win Ohio on a Lie? And you can find it at truthout.org. Paul, welcome to our program today.
Very glad to be here.
We've got a heck of a hum there.
Yeah, I was going to ask that. Your engineer went offline. The moment I picked up, the hum was there.
Okay, well, as long as you're talking, it's kind of in the background.
Yeah, okay.
So let's work with it for this segment, and if we need to during the break, we'll reconnect.
That would be great. Now, I didn't know if it was audible on your end or not.
Yeah, as long as you're talking, it stays in the background.
Okay, I'll keep trying to talk.
So, Paul, first of all, welcome to our program.
Very glad to be here.
And thank you for dissecting this story, because I think it's very important for people to dispassionately and rationally look at how this actually happened and then how it was spun. So first and foremost, tell us about any meetings that occurred between either campaign and representatives of the Canadian government.
Well, let me preface that, but when you were saying it's hard to track down the sequence of events and what happened, a week and a half ago, which is when I first wrote the piece, I think it was a week and a half ago, I was in the exact same situation, which is, gee, this is very dismaying. What actually is going on? And I then did I stumbled on it as a Canadian Broadcasting Corporation, did a really excellent dissection of it, which I had heard nowhere in the American press. And I thought, gee, this is kind of interesting. This is sort of diametrically opposed to what I'm hearing on the network news.
Mm-hmm.
And I then spent the last, you know, almost a week just going through every possible source I could to figure out what indeed did occur. And the sequence, as I describe in this article, is essentially, as you said, the Ohio vote was, you know, critical vote. Obama was very much gaining momentum on Hillary Clinton and looked like, you know, maybe not quite catch her, but sort of probably split dead even or something like that. And then all of a sudden this landed, and a story which indeed made it sound like he was just the kind of vilest hypocrite. Here he is saying, you know, NAFTA's terrible and Clinton's husband is responsible, which actually, you know, is certainly true, is the kind of centerpiece of his administration, is passing it through.
Right.
Really marshaling all his political chips. But then here Obama is actually sneaking off to tell the Canadians, oh, but don't believe a word I say. It's all just show business. It's all just politics. And if I were receiving that story and believed that story, I would think, oh, my God, this person's a total hypocrite. I'm sure not going to support him.
Well, and we do know from the exit polls that many Ohio voters made up their minds at the last minute, and many of them selected Hillary Clinton in that last-minute decision.
Overwhelmingly, which was a dramatic contrast with what had happened in Wisconsin, in Virginia, and basically all the states where Obama had any chance to seriously campaign, the momentum went the other way, with the exception of New Hampshire, which is his own sort of crying game weirdness. But leaving that one aside, overall, he'd always caught up. And so I'm thinking, well, what's happened? And so what's very interesting is that the story sort of comes out in bits and pieces. And first we have is the Canadian Harper government, which is essentially, as you fill Bush's name in the blank, for Canada, you've got Stephen Harper. Very right-wing government, global warming denial, hawkish on Iraq, just pretty much Bush clone, even in the more rational and sane context of Canada, and sort of got in part because there was a split vote in the other Canadian parties. And so what happens is their advisor, his chief of staff, a guy named Brody, is talking to a bunch of reporters and says, actually, well, we heard from somebody from the, because Clinton herself is also saying, oh, I'm very, I don't like NAFTA, I want to make major changes in it.
Well, and Paul, let's point out that Hillary Clinton has a problem, a vulnerability on NAFTA, because most people accept that she supported her husband in passing NAFTA in the 90s, and she's on record with many quotes that are verified as supporting NAFTA more or less right up until the time she went into the United States Senate. Now, I don't object.
Where she was praising the corporations for lobbying effectively to get NAFTA through.
Right. I don't object that a politician changes positions, and I think that Hillary Clinton has changed. But she wants to make it seem like she's always been opposed to NAFTA, and she really can only cite David Gergen inside the White House to buttress that.
Yeah, and the other thing that's interesting about NAFTA is that I remember in 1994, right after Clinton rammed it through, I was traveling all over the country, and what I saw is this, because I happened to be on a book tour of my third book, and I saw this massive melting away of Democratic volunteer support from, like, unions and environmental groups who were just furious at NAFTA. And that was a significant part of what allowed Gingrich then to basically take the Congress and Senate. So that not only did NAFTA have economic consequences, it also had very severe political consequences in fracturing the Democratic coalition.
Okay. Now, Paul R. Loeb is with us. You can read his piece at truthout.org. I encourage you to read it for yourself. And so, Paul, let's return to this sequence of events here, because it was really the Clinton campaign that made contact with Canadian representatives and sent a message saying, oh, don't worry about explicitly what she says about NAFTA.
Right. So basically, at least as far, I mean, this is the Harper government is now sort of backing away from it, but his chief of staff said, a bunch of you talking casually to a bunch of reporters, that the Clinton camp had made these overtures that denied it. So then what happened is that didn't really get any traction. But then the same person was not quite clear. Every story suggested it's the same person, Brody, but it's not. It's kind of like the Valerie Plame leak. Nobody will quite say, well, here's our fingerprints on it. Essentially, leaked the story to CTV, which is one of the Canadian networks, and they then came out with a story that it was Obama, and that Obama basically met with the Canadian ambassador in Washington, D.C., one of his major representatives had met with a Canadian ambassador and essentially given them a sort of wink and nod on NAFTA, and mm-hmm. very much the same thing. It said, we're not really sincere about this. It's just political rhetoric. And then it exploded all over the U.S. media. And then the Canadian ambassador said, we've never had a meeting with the Obama campaign remotely about this. And then a couple of days later, it came out that there was a meeting a month earlier, which was actually before NAFTA really totally began hitting the headlines, mm-hmm. that Obama's one of his economic advisors, who lives, a guy named Goolsbee, who lives in Chicago and teaches at the University of Chicago, mm-hmm. did meet with the Chicago consulate for about an hour over a bunch of stuff, and about 2 or 3 minutes of it were talk about NAFTA.
But Paul, one of the most important things that you report is that meeting was requested by the Canadians.
Exactly. Yeah. So it wasn't like, the story that it keeps coming is, he approached Canada to tell them, don't take this seriously. In fact, the Canadians called this guy and said, can you meet with us? We want some, we're going to have a conversation about this stuff. And my sense was it was a relatively low level. I mean, the Chicago Consul General is not the sort of most top-level Canadian officials.
Not at all.
And so it's this low-level, relatively unexceptional meeting. And then this firestorm happens, and the Obama campaign, who doesn't know about the meeting at this point, says, well, this didn't happen. We've just heard the Canadian ambassador say it didn't happen. And then this other leak happens. That's this supposed memo of the meeting, which basically other people from Goolsbee, whose words they were, to later the Harper government itself said was just completely inaccurate. But then that gets leaked to the U.S. press.
Right.
And, it's a sort of sequence of events where it's very hard to know motive on this. But in a way, I mean, the analogy I used to open up the piece was, imagine if it was, say, North Korea, and we'd try to interfere with the U.S. election. We'd probably be bombing them by now if it was under Bush, and if it was in any way hostile to Bush. So there's at least some possibility of less than benevolent motives on the part of this right-wing Canadian government to essentially stir up trouble among the Democrats who are running against the Republicans who are their political allies. And I don't know if that, I mean, that's what a lot of the Canadians are now saying, and they're pushing for a major parliamentary inquiry and for the RCMP to get involved and to really get to the root of it. You know, at this point, that's possible, and it also may not be. The original story may have been innocent. But the result either way was that all of a sudden, you know, it vaults to the front and center of the United States news media, and it vaults there in this, even after Harper said, you know, very, very explicitly, you know, there's no intention to convey in any way that Senator Obama and his campaign were taking a different position in public from the views expressed in private, including about NAFTA. So even after the Harper government, after this firestorm of criticism against them, backtracks and says, you know, this just didn't happen, it dominates the U.S. media. And so Clinton runs ads, including one ad that was sort of, you would listen to it and it sounded like a newscaster.
Right, it was
so,
a radio commercial in the form of a newscast.
Right, exactly. And I listened to it and it was just like, you know, I thought it was a newscast till the end. And you would listen and you think, okay, the latest reporter is that you know, Obama's basically lying about this mm-hmm. stuff. And he's telling the phrase is that Senator Obama was telling one story to Ohio. His campaign was telling a very different story to Canada. And she's using it in her speeches. And it's again, if you live in Ohio, which I don't know if you've been in Ohio recently, but
I grew up there.
Okay, it is you know, in recent years it has been devastated. I mean, over 200,000 jobs, manufacturing jobs, have fled.
Right.
And you know, trade stuff are complicated issues, but I think that it's hard to argue that NAFTA has been anything other disaster for Ohio.
Yeah,
I was doing some calling for the Obama campaign, who happens to be who I support, they're mostly Democratic lists because that was obviously who they intended you to reach, but sometimes the lists were flawed and you'd end up with a Republican, and even the Republicans I would talk with, who I usually got an interesting conversation with, would agree that NAFTA was a complete disaster.
Yeah. Well, I got to run here. I want to thank you for setting up the story. I want to thank you for analyzing this, and I invite people to read your piece at truthout.org. Did Clinton win Ohio on a lie? We've been talking with writer Paul Rogat-Loeb, L-O-E-B, his website, paulloeb.com. We'll take your phone calls next. What do you think about this? I want to hear you. 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. You're listening to the new KRXA 540.
Hi, I'm J.R. Medina, owner of PG Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue in Pacific Grove. My family and I are proud to serve the finest selection of beer, wine, liquor, and non-alcoholic beverages in the Monterey area. Our store is evolving beyond adult and soft drinks. We serve freshly brewed Acme coffee, the finest breakfast burritos, and now Nathan's hot dogs. We're open daily. Come by and check out the big, big selection and low, low prices at PG Liquors. That's PG Liquors at 229 Grand in Pacific Grove.
March Madness has struck all-class transportation in Marina. Through March 29th, all-class transportation is offering ridiculously low rates to travel in the ultimate in comfort and style. Rent an all-class transportation 8-passenger limousine for the bargain basement price of $55 an hour. A 6-passenger luxury SUV goes for just $50 an hour. And you can enjoy the plush surroundings of a 4-passenger luxury sedan for the low, low price of $45 per hour. The minimum rental time, just 1 hour. Call All Class Transportation, TCP number 22978-A at 831-582-9338, or email John and John at allclasstrans@att.net. Times are yard to yard. Gratuity is not included, and vehicles will be rented subject to availability. Remember, for all your transportation needs, call Marina-based All Class Transportation at 582-9338. That's 582-9338.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
The hottest rock ticket in town can be found this Sunday. You could win tickets to see Bruce Springsteen April 5th in San Jose and spend two nights at the Seascape Resort on Monterey Bay and help the planet with Jenny Green Bags.
All you have to do is listen.
And get ready for the Cheese and Wine event with Bay Area Wealth Builders on March 20th. Meet some of the hottest green companies in the world. Call 408-892-3376. Rock Rollin' Real Estate. Sunday mornings at 10.
Bruce Springsteen promotion ends March 28th, 5 p.m.
Checking traffic on KRXA. A new accident coming in for Santa Cruz County, Highway 9 at Scenic Way. A couple of cars, they're both off to the right-hand shoulder. No injuries being reported at the scene. Santa Cruz Mountain, southbound 17 at Alma College Road. We have a two-car crash. It looks like all the activity there off to the right-hand shoulder. Monterey County, Highway 1 north of the Little Sur River Bridge. It's an accident with a couple of cars. All the activity off to the side there. Heads up Salinas, south 101 before Russell Road. Some plywood with metal pieces sticking out. That's between the two left-hand lanes. 68 still problem-free right now, and, of course, heavy traffic southbound 17 onto southbound 1. This is brought to you by Carfax. A flood-damaged car is like a ticking time bomb. Nearly half of these flooded cars get fixed up and resold. Want to avoid them? Ask your dealer for a free Carfax vehicle history report or go to Carfax.com. If you're out and about and you spot a traffic problem, we'd love to know about it. Give us a call, 415-901-7990. I'm Nate Nix, and that's traffic on KRXA.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. It's called the Free Speech Zone. Your calls and comments are welcome. You just heard reporter Paul Rogat-Loeb describe the details, based on Canadian broadcasting sources, of the sequence of events that led to the lies about Barack Obama, claiming falsely that his campaign had sent secret messages, back-channel messages to the Canadian government saying, don't worry about what Obama is saying about NAFTA. When in fact the flip was true. The Clinton campaign sent those messages, and then with some help from the Harper government and mismanagement of a memo that was inaccurate, in a very short period of time before the Ohio primary, this lie became a campaign theme. And I hope that the corporate media will dig into this. I haven't seen evidence. They're all spitzered up. And they're, you know, ping-ponging the Geraldine Ferraro comments with Pat Buchanan all over MSNBC every program last night. But I hope that our corporate media will pay attention to this, because this is an important aspect of this campaign. And we can't allow things to be built on a lie. And that's why I'm calling it out at this point. Laura in Sacramento, thanks for calling the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi, Peter.
Hi.
I think that this latest tactic, along with many others, shows why this woman does not deserve to the voters to elect her as president. She has run a terribly divisive campaign. What other candidate would tout the qualities of the opposing party and say that they don't exist in the other candidate in her party?
Right.
She has run a terribly divisive campaign.
Well, and
she has surrounded herself with terrible advisors.
Laura, they keep piling on. Mark Penn, her chief strategist today, went public and again was saying that Obama doesn't have the experience to be president. Now, this is a very dangerous track, because even if Hillary wins the nomination, it leaves the question of experience and competence for the Republicans to pursue in the fall against Hillary.
Additionally, look who she is being advised by. She has had terrible advice that she has followed to everyone's detriment. Why should anyone believe, if she is elected, she will surround herself with wise heads? I just think she's going to have She's going to listen to bad leadership. If she can't tell that she's getting bad advice now, there is nothing that suggests that suddenly after the inaugural, she's going to change her methods.
Well, Laura, a lot of that advice appears to be coming from her husband, the former president. And I think that we have to also get the corporate media to demand answers and ask Hillary Clinton to explain to us how it's going to work if she is president and exactly what Bill will do and what influence he will have. Because I don't want the twofer. I don't want Bill to be in the Oval Office on a daily basis looking over her shoulder and saying, oh, yeah, you ought to do this, or I would have done it this way. I've got real problems with that, and this campaign has demonstrated the limits of his wisdom.
Others have commented that they believe that there may be, that it's possible that Bill does not want her to be elected, that his actions are really not in support of his wife. And I think it's a terrible, terrible thing when somebody wants to win so bad for personal reasons that they completely ignore what's best for the country. I haven't seen her make any comment about her actions and how they will better the country.
Well, I don't agree with that. She couches a lot of her health care proposals and others in you know, working
I'll
on behalf
healthcare.
Of the people.
I will concede health care.
Yeah. But I agree with you. The what surfaces and what's very clear is that it's her ambition that is driving all this, and we are supposed to get out of the way, and Barack Obama is supposed to get out of the way of her ambition. I'm not buying it. Laura, thank you very much. More of your calls coming up next. I've got lines open, so call me at 888-5-PETER-B.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
We'd like to thank you
for
supporting this locally owned and operated Carmel business for nearly 40 years.
Nestled in Carmel by the Sea, the Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore and Secret Garden occupy a beautiful space on Dolores between 5th and 6th, showcasing an array of books on local interest, new releases, bestsellers, novels, children's, metaphysical, and much more. Plus, you'll enjoy taking a good look at our music, healing tools, cards, statuary, fountains, and more.
Proud to be a part of the Carmel business community, we invite you to see us soon.
Pilgrim's Way offers one-on-one intuitive counseling in the bookstore. You may call ahead for an appointment or just walk in. Whether you're a local resident or a visitor to our beautiful peninsula, we have something for everyone.
The Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore and Secret Garden, between 5th and 6th on Dolores.
Discover an imaginative adventure. Pick up a good read at the Pilgrim's Way, Carmel.
Does it seem like the service is lacking at most service stations? Not at Mid-Valley Valero and Shell on Carmel Valley Road. Mid-Valley Valero and Shell offer complete auto repair, smog inspections, major brand tires, 30, 60, and 90,000 mile service checks, complete brake work, and fix any electrical problems. They even provide environmentally friendly auto detailing. Mid-Valley Valero and Shell use only the highest quality original and aftermarket auto parts. Call Mid-Valley Valero and Shell at 831-624-0722. That's 624-0722. Remember, for all your automobile needs, only Mid-Valley Valero and Shell will do. Locally owned, Mid-Valley Valero and Shell. Putting the service back in service stations.
Hi, I'm Ginger.
And I'm Jay. And we'd like to personally invite you to our family restaurant, A Pizza Paradise.
Try one of our signature pizzas or calzones, such as Jamaican Me Crazy or Wild Mushroom Dreams.
We also offer sandwiches, salads, rice plates, and irresistible homemade desserts by Ginger.
So come relax in our tropical surf-themed restaurant and top off your meal with draft beer from Kona Brewing Company, fresh brewed Hawaiian coffee, or Lappert's ice cream.
Located in the Marina Village Center at 215 Reservation Road in Marina. We have been recognized by Monterey County food critics Mike Hill and Melissa Snyder as locals' favorite, best for families, and much more.
Call 582-9149 or visit our website at apizzaparadise.net.
It's A Pizza Paradise, where your pizzas are bigger, better, and bolder.
That's 582-9149.
Yeah.
dedicated to the proposition that fun, learning, and personal growth go together perfectly, Thinker Toys, with two beautiful stores on the Monterey Peninsula, has an incredible selection of fun and educational toys, games, books, and art supplies for infants to teens. For nearly 40 years, Thinker Toys owner Mark Phillips and his experienced staff have been serving the parents and children of the Central Coast. They can help you choose the perfect gift for the special child in your life. Join Thinker Toys' three generations of satisfied customers, and you'll see why Thinker Toys is the most fun place to shop on the Monterey Peninsula. Open every day. Thinker Toys is at the corner of San Carlos and 7th in Carmel by the Sea, and next to Starbucks in the Del Monte Center in Monterey. You can also order by phone, 831-624-0441. That's 624-0441. Or browse at thinkertoys.com.
From the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
I'm your humble host, Peter B. Collins, 33 minutes after the hour. And coming up next week, Monday, Tuesday, we'll be live from Washington, D.C., and I'll be doing a doubleheader live on the Tom Hartman program on many of these same fine radio stations. And then the usual action here from 3 to 6 p.m. Pacific time on the Peter B. Collins Show. And then we're going to stay over Wednesday and broadcast from Washington from a different location. The first 2 days will be at the Take Back America conference, and it should be quite lively with progressives gathering from all over the country. We're taking your calls here in the Free Speech Zone. One line is open for you at 888-5-PETER-B. And Mike in Fair Oaks. Thanks for holding on, Mike. You're now on the air.
Hi, Peter B.
Hello.
Unfortunately, I'm not from one of those good stations because I'm calling from the KSAC listening area.
All right. Well, you can listen online. The Hartman Show is available at airamerica.com.
I appreciate that. I wish we could get Tom Hartman here on this station, but I guess...
Well, if you want to know, I was actually discussing that issue, that very issue, with the manager today. And the conflict is that Ed Schultz originates his show at the same time that Tom Hartman does.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of Ed Schultz fans, and there are a lot of Hartman fans. And we've actually been through the same issue at our station in Monterey. And so it's hard to keep everybody happy when there are two great programs that beam out at the very same time.
Well, based on what Randy Hartman said about Ed Schultz today on her program, maybe these station owners will have a little different view, but...
Well, let me just weigh in there. I didn't hear, and by the way, it's Randy Rhodes, not Randy Hartman. They're not married. I didn't hear what Randy said, but I do not get involved in the sniping that occurs, and I find it unfortunate, just as I find the battle between Obama and Clinton to be unnecessary in most respects. I do not like when my fellow progressive hosts take shots at one another. There are so few of us, and we should be happy that there are a whole range of progressives who are on the air and reaching people in America today. Just 5 years ago, none of us had a national audience. And so, you know, I've got my differences with Ed, and I got my differences with Randy. But I'll take them up with the individuals and not piss on the radio about other progressive hosts.
Well, I appreciate all of them, and you too. KSAC is really important to a lot of folks in this community.
Yeah.
The reason I'm calling it is because this community, the 3rd Congressional District that I'm a part of, was involved tonight on this secret session that our House of Representatives is moving into right now as we speak.
Right, and just for people who have just joined us, we talked about this a little earlier with Faz Shakir, and the issue is that the FISA bill is coming out of the Intelligence Committee without amnesty or immunity for the telephone companies, And I believe it's on directions from the White House. I have no proof of that, but it is my firm belief that the Republicans in the House have demanded a closed session. And so this could be just a delaying tactic. The Republicans love to do this. They like to jam things up against a deadline for a congressional recess. And the House, I believe, is getting ready to recess tomorrow for 1 or 2 weeks for the Easter break. And as a result, we've got the Republicans all fired up. Bush gave an unscheduled news conference event today and was again hammering on the FISA law. And as we know, what Bush wants is to protect the phone companies and his administration from embarrassing disclosures that they intentionally broke the law starting before 9/11. That's what they're trying to cover up, and that's what I'm glad to see the Democrats are standing firm on in the House. I hope they will hold.
Well, it's the Senate that counts in all of this, because they're probably going to pass this without immunity. But my point to the District 3 listeners tonight is that our congressman was on the floor standing next to Roy Blunt, who, as the whip,
he's the whip, right?
The minority whip, made a deal with Steny Hoyer for this secret meeting. And Dan Lundgren stood up with his crutch and clearly supported the Republican side, obviously, is a complete clone of George W. Bush. And this is our representative, all of you folks out there in the 3rd District. And this man is right in the middle of lowering the bar in the House of Representatives. The reason being, this thing has only happened 5 times in 180-some years. And the very issue that this secret session is being called for was a historical, has a historical relationship to why we've had 3 of the 5 since the mid-80s.
Mm-hmm.
And that is because the FISA bill, in its original version, has established a secrecy cloak in Washington, D.C. And it's extended itself into the House of Representatives.
Well, you have a point there. I do think that the FISA law was an attempt to prevent a repeat of the Nixon administration's phony use of national security to block an investigation into the Watergate affair. And so it was an attempt to remedy that. I do agree with you by setting up a secret court that met for years in a secret courtroom in the Justice Department building, that it has created the sense of unnecessary confidentiality and a shadow government that is not visible or accountable to average Americans. So I do share your concern about that. Mike, thanks for bringing this to our attention today.
Thank you.
Always good to talk with you. More of your calls straight ahead, but we pause for a brief report from the man who's been fired from 13 major daily newspapers and continues to publish news that the mainstream media just never gets around to. You can read it for yourself at the Post-Times-Sun-Dispatch, and they're on the web at ptsd1.blogspot.com. That's ptsd1.blogspot.com, the home of reporter R.J. Shulman. R.J., how you doing today?
I'm doing great, Peter B. How are you doing today?
Well, I'm all right, but I'm a little conflicted because your lead story is about Elliot Spitzer. And at the beginning of the show today, I took a pledge to offer a Spitzer-free program. But your story is too important, and I am going to momentarily set aside my pledge, RJ. What do you got on the soon-to-be former governor of New York?
Well, Elliot Spitzer said today, and again, the mainstream press did not pick this up, he said, "I shouldn't have had sex. I should have invaded Vermont." And what this is about is it's about, you know, what you have to do to get impeached. And what he said is, instead of getting involved with a call girl, he should have ordered the New York National Guard to make a preemptive strike on Vermont to overthrow the, you know, anti-American, anti-Bush crowd that's over there.
Yeah.
Or maybe bankrupted the New York Treasury or ordered his buddy in the AG's office to go after his political enemies, or claimed he was even less gay than Larry Craig, and if he had done that, he would have kept his job.
And you quote him as saying, had I waterboarded Senator Bernie Sanders in Sing Sing and not room and boarded Kristen in Washington, I could have stayed in office. Wow.
That's an exact quote, yeah.
Wow. Well, I do think that the corporate media has kind of worked over the story, and, you know, they're tracing the money, they're profiling Kristen, the call girl, and I think we ought to take up a collection and get her a nose job.
Well, the one thing about Mr. Spitzer is I think he had better taste in women than an unnamed ex-president.
Okay.
the one news about the story, I know we've all been upset about how much time it got, but actually the good news about the Spitzer story is it finally got Britney Spears off the news.
Well, indeed. That is one thing we can be grateful for. Next story is that Bush is sending Cheney to the Middle East to whip up some peace?
That's right. At first... Bush was going to send him to the Midwest, and he thought there was a problem between Kansas and Iowa. But it turns out it's the Mideast, as we all know, where there's problems, and where the president says there's, quote, plenty of unpeace ready to break out, end quote.
Well, Dick Cheney's the man who can break it.
As a matter of fact, one of the things he's going to do is not only is he going to talk to everybody about the situation that they're having with each other, but he's going to sell them all some American weapons, you know, some American-made WMDs, but this time they're going to put GPS devices on them so they'll know where they are.
Oh, that's a great idea. Yeah. Now, the final story we have time for here is Bush surprised by a decline in the economy. Now, we know that he doesn't know how much a gallon of gas costs at retail, but what are some of the other things the president isn't up to speed on?
Well, he doesn't know that that there's anything wrong with the economy. In other words, he doesn't know that people can't meet their bills, can't pay for their mortgages. He thinks that anybody who speaks ill of the economy is actually basically an enemy combatant. You know, people who think that Brownie did not do a heck of a job in New Orleans, he thinks that this is the crowd that thinks that torture is is bad thing to promote freedom and justice. So he's just completely out of touch.
I'm going to do my best here because, as you know, one of the things I value in your reportage is that you give us verbatims of the president's mangled syntax. So here's a quote. I want to put to rest all the worried Americans who are worried about recession-loving terrorists that we are tapping the wires of the anti-American economy haters who hate us for our economy and who also think that the Iraq war is not going better with our surges and who don't think that Brownie did a heck of a job when New Orleans got Katrina'd or who think that torture is not a good weapon to use to promote freedom and justice. Wow. How do you manage to stenographize to write that crap down?
Well, we have a very reliable electronic device that we've obtained from government surplus that takes us down word for word.
Oh, come on. You got it at Radio Shack. All right, RJ, thank you very much.
All right, Peter B., have a great week, and we'll talk to you soon.
Yep, talk to you soon. That's RJ Shulman, PTSD1.blogspot.com. That is the website of the Post Times News Sun Dispatch. Got to get my letters straight. Line two appears to be Gina in Salinas. Is it still?
Yeah.
Hi, Gina. Welcome.
Hi.
What's on your mind?
Well, I was going to say something about Hillary's motivation, which we can't judge. You can't judge another person's motivation. You can only suppose what you think it is. But the thing that seems terribly important to me is the fact that we've got that carrier, the Eisenhower, going over to the Iraq.
Mm-hmm.
Do we still have the law that says Bush can take over everything if we have a major emergency?
Well, that's a matter of some dispute, Gina, because the president has claimed exceptional powers from the Constitution as a commander-in-chief, from the authorization following 9/11 to pursue al-Qaeda, and from the authorization to use military force against Iraq. And I believe that what Hillary voted for last September, the Kyle Lieberman resolution, which was non-binding, but it offered the sense of the Senate that declared that the Iranian military's Revolutionary Guard is a terrorist group. And the Bush administration turned around a week later and seized on that and said, well, since the military in Iran is a terrorist group, then we're imposing sanctions on that portion of Iran's government. And this was the first step of a provocative approach, in my view, to try to develop some sort of a military confrontation against Iran, because that's what Bush and Cheney want to do, and that appears to be what Israel wants them to do.
I'm not looking at it from that aspect. I'm looking at it from, like, say, minor aspect.
Yeah.
Is he going? Can he cancel the election and take me and you to jail?
Well, I mean, see, some of this has been speculated about because he signed Executive Order 51 last year.
He's just an administrator.
Well, hold on, Gina.
In a company.
Gina, we don't know what Bush might attempt to do. We did see Rudy Giuliani after 9/11 try to extend his stay as mayor of New York because he thought he was so indispensable.
Yeah, that's what I'm worried about, too.
And I do think it's conceivable that Bush would attempt that. I hope that he would never do so, and that rational minds would prevent him from attempting it.
But
they haven't been able to stop him from a lot of bad stuff in the last seven years.
I think we ought to bring that up. We ought to start talking about that quite often, so everybody might start thinking about it, so we can all get mad before it happens.
All right, Gina, thank you very much. I've been talking about it for a year and a half, and I hope I haven't burned people out on it, but I think it's been one of the most important potential problems that we would face. Time for a break, and then we return to more of your phone calls. I've got lines open. Would you like to comment? It'll be a short wait on hold. Call me now, toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. I'm glad you're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show.
KRXA 540. Progressive talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
Checking traffic on KRXA, getting reports of a new injury crash northbound Highway 1 at Park Avenue. No lane information, but according to the CHP, several vehicles on top of each other, so definitely expect delays if you're in the area. For Ben Lomond, Highway 9 at Scenic Way, we have a crash with a couple of cars off to the right-hand shoulder. Two separate reports of people walking in the roadway, Rio Del Mar Boulevard at Clubhouse Drive, somebody walking in the lanes, and in Hollister, Hillcrest Road at Fairview Road. We're getting reports of someone stumbling around the roadway there. The Fishhook, Santa Cruz, southbound 17 on to southbound 1. It's the everyday slow traffic there. And this is brought to you by your genuine Toyota service departments. The Great Corolla Giveaway is on now at your participating Toyota Service Center, where you'll find factory-trained technicians using genuine Toyota parts. It's the best way to keep your Toyota a Toyota. Have a great night. I'm Nate Nix, and that's traffic on KRXA.
Go ahead. Take a deep breath. Yeah, there's nothing like that new car insurance smell.
I love it.
Want to take it for a test drive?
Sure.
Wouldn't it be great if you could test drive car insurance? Well, maybe you can.
Notice all the impressive standard features. Good neighbor service for extra comfort and stability. And look how great it handles around those hairpin turns in your budget.
Check out the company 40 million other drivers trust, State Farm. No one gives more discounts to more drivers, and nobody takes care of you like a State Farm agent.
Who's that?
That's your built-in security system, your very own State Farm agent.
Hi, nice to meet you.
Hey there, and who are those guys?
Oh, that's your award-winning claims department.
Wow.
So talk to a State Farm agent today and kick the tires on our car insurance. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
I'm Justin Hamble, your Monterey Bay State Farm agent. Call me today at 831-688-3683. That's 688-3683.
Cornerstone Wellness Center in Monterey specializes in reducing stress and pain in your body. With six professionals, two doctors of osteopathy on duty, Cornerstone offers hormone balancing for men and women, all natural, no side effects. With our bodies filled with toxins and aches and pains, this approach works. I'm Sheila Gale, and I've lived with chronic neck pain for years. Trina Hammack uses a technique called quantum biofeedback, which to me is a miracle. I feel better and better each day, physically and mentally. mentally. Cornerstone offers lymphatic drainage, infrared saunas, ionic foot baths, massage, estheticians, and body strengthening specifically for your body so you'll start living pain-free naturally. Tired of taking medicine? Homeopathy and top-of-the-line essential oils are used. Finally, an alternative that works. Cornerstone Wellness Center, 1088 Cass Street, Monterey. Call today, 373-6204, 373-6204.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, the host of the new show, curiously enough, called The Scott Dick Show, weekdays following the Peter B. Collins Show. Every evening from 6 to 8 p.m., we'll talk about local and regional issues, national and international politics, military and veterans affairs, and anything else that hasn't been lip-smacked to death already. So hang around after the Peter B. Collins Show and tune in to the gift you just can't return, The Scott Dick Show, weekdays, 6 to 8 p.m., where I'll shoot from the lip and take no prisoners.
If you like the show, you agree, you disagree, if you don't feel like calling in, drop me an email. It's peter@peterbcollins.com. At the same website, you can grab the link on the homepage to pick up podcasts and share them with a friend or catch up on hours you may have missed. And up next, Jake in Eureka. Welcome, Jake. You're on the air.
Hey, Peter B.
Hi.
Hey, you know, so I just heard that the naval aircraft carrier, the USS Abraham Lincoln, is being sent back over to the Persian Gulf. And considering that it was only a couple days ago that Admiral Fallon's apparently forced resignation was made public,
yeah.
I think we need to connect the dots on this one and watch for potentially another October surprise in Iran again.
Well, and the spoof news you heard did have a grain of truth to it. Dick Cheney is being sent to the Middle East. I don't know about that quote to whip up some peace, but... You know, the last time, maybe he's been there once in between, but as I recall, on a recent visit there, in between hand-holding with the King of Saudi Arabia, he went to the flight deck of a carrier that was poised in the Persian Gulf off the coast of Iran, where he delivered a rip-roaring speech to the sailors on the ship, but of course it was intended for consumption in Tehran. And it's this kind of a thing where, you know, I can't say what the motives are here. I share your concern. I believe this would make for two carrier groups in the Gulf at this time. And Sam Gardner, who's been our source and a guy who's a retired Air Force colonel, has taught at all the major war colleges. He has indicated in the past that the war plans established by the Pentagon for these heavy-duty, it would put the Iraqi shock and awe into a historical category because they're planning a huge array of simultaneous assaults to try to just, you know, neutralize Iran in a very short period of time. I, of course, don't share their video game confidence that all you got to do is blast away at Iran and they'll just submit and, you know, say, oh, please, please don't do that again. The more we throw at Iran, the more it will unite the population around the mullahs and a very unpopular president, Ahmadinejad.
And you're right, and it also seems to me that this ratcheting up of the tensions, for obvious political reasons, by the Republican Party and the President and Vice President, you know, it's almost as if they're inviting an attack. Because, I mean, honestly, I mean, if they're going to go ahead and commit airstrikes on Iran, you know, again, you know, this preemptive warfare nonsense, they know that Iran is not simply going to stand by without a response on their part. And that's putting American lives at risk as well here, not just Iranian lives. And I would hope that the public would take that into consideration when voting this November, because just look at John McCain. You know, he's a neocon himself. He was the original candidate back in 2000 that the neocons supported, in fact. He's always been an imperialist. In fact, his father and grandfather were both admirals. They were imperialists as well, and they believe in using American force to get their way. And we really need to be concerned about the possibility of a McCain presidency, Peter B.
Well, I sure agree with you. And I agree with all that you said there about his hawkishness and his philosophy, which is to settle things with military force that you and I might try to work through with diplomacy, negotiation, and other efforts short of the dispatch of a military assault. I'm looking while we're talking right now at the website of the Nation, because I'm trying to see if Robert Dreyfus' latest article has been posted here yet. I got an advance copy of it by email yesterday, and I don't see it here, but I encourage people to look for it over the next few days, because he's written a great piece about John McCain, about his temper, his temperament, and the history that he has, somewhat similar to what you described, but also in his relationships with other members of the United States Senate. And so there's some clear warning signals about John McCain. And if the Democrats ever, you know, stop peeing all over each other, they might get around to focusing on the Republican nominee and getting out the important information about who he really is, and that he is corrupt with lobbyists. He is not a straight talker. And he has compromised himself so badly on torture and on other issues where he used to have credibility, like his rejection of the Christian right. He properly characterized them back in 2000, and now he's cozied up to this guy Hagee, and he has not had to reject and denounce the support of Hagee the way Barack Obama is repeatedly required to distance himself from Minister Louis Farrakhan and now the retired pastor of his church. And some of those sermons that he gave years ago are now being dredged up to try to slime Barack Obama. It's going to be quite a campaign season. Jake, thanks for your call.
Thanks, Peter.
Yep, appreciate that update. We're going to ride off into the sunset. I'll be back here tomorrow, same time.
Happy trails to you.
Same great radio stations, too. My thanks to Brian Urban taking your calls today and our super producer, Katrina Rill. Visit my website at peterbcollins.com. That's where the podcasts live.
Keep smiling until then.
We're talking again with Veronique Raskin, founder of the Organic Wine Company. Veronique, I just gave you a nice little chocolate raspberry treat. Can I drink wine and eat chocolate at the same time? Is there a rule against that? Is there a law in France that says I can't?
No, to the contrary, my girlfriends and I sometimes get together and have a treat of chocolate with one absolutely scrumptious wine that we have, which is called Cartagène, which is, again, something that people make in the south of France pretty much for the family. It's a treat, and they pull it out when you go visit them. You know how farmers are and people are close to the land, and they pull out the thing that they've made and they've kept in their cellar, and the foie gras and the special sausage and all this, and they sit around and they share this little treat with them. It's like communion.
Find out more about organic wines at ecowine.com. That's ecowine.com. Order by phone toll-free at 888-ECO-WINE. Mention Peter B. Collins and...
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. The Bush administration is no fan of government regulation, but it's decided that more regulation is what's needed to prevent a repeat of this mortgage mess. Today, officials proposed tighter standards for lenders and brokers. CBS News correspondent Nancy Cordes looked into this.
Big banks and their bad mortgages have caused hundreds of thousands of foreclosures and pushed the country to the brink of recession. It didn't have to happen. Take tiny Hudson City Bank in New Jersey, which turned big profits last quarter by sticking to a golden rule: lend money to people who are safe bets.
We like to look at their ability to pay, like to verify their employment and appraise their property.
That old-fashioned, risk-averse lending strategy is at the heart of the plan proposed today by Treasury Secretary Hank Paulson and other financial officials as they try to prevent this mess from ever happening again.
Consumer spending fuels the economy, but retail sales dropped 0.6% last month. Retailing consultant Candace Corlett says mall money is being eaten up at the gas pump.
This is not a low-income household problem. This spans middle-income shoppers, too.
The White House says the economy should pick up in the second and third quarters as people spend their stimulus checks. Don't let someone else spend yours. IRS spokesman Anthony Burke says scam artists are making phone calls and sending emails offering to help people claim their rebates.
The important thing for taxpayers to know is the only way to get a refund or to get an economic stimulus payment is by filing a tax return.
Chrysler is imposing a mandatory company-wide vacation for 2 weeks in July. It's not being nice. Keith Crane of Automotive News Magazine says Chrysler is burdened with an oversupply of vehicles and has to stop production for a while.
Chrysler is having the biggest problems among the Detroit Three, but Ford and General Motors are suffering from the same ailments.
He speculates the dealers are refusing to take any more inventory. New York Governor Eliot Spitzer officially leaves office on Monday when Lieutenant Governor David Patterson steps up.
It is a daunting challenge. I've had many of them, and I'm pretty excited about trying to fulfill what is expected of me.
Patterson talked to reporters today.